Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Without citing any real evidence, the U.S. Civil Administrator for Iraq says they are closing in on Saddam Hussein. Paul Bremer made his claims earlier today on NBC's Today Show.
Well, I think the noose is certainly tightening now because we have quite a number of the top people who are around him now are either dead or in our custody. His support circle has to be getting tighter around him.
Bremer admitted more U.S. troops will likely be killed in revenge for the deaths of Saddam Hussein's two sons earlier this week, but he said he expects the violence to diminish in the long run. No word, though, on just how long that run may be. Officials in Cairo say Iran has offered to hand over several suspected Egyptian militants. The Iranian government claims it's detaining Egyptian members of the Al-Qaeda network and is now ready to extradite some of them. Middle East correspondent Roxana Saberi has more.
An Egyptian security official says Iran has offered to transfer the men who are suspected of belonging to Islamic Jihad. The extremist group is led by al-Qaeda's second-ranking man, Ayman al-Zawahiri. The official, who spoke to reporters on condition of anonymity, did not name the militants or say how many might be returned. Iran's foreign minister apparently made the offer last month, but Cairo has not yet officially responded, and there's been no official comment from Tehran. The Iranian government has only confirmed it is holding some high-ranking and less important members of al-Qaeda. Roxana Saberi, Tehran.
Perhaps without recognizing the irony with regards to his own apparently checkered military past, President Bush today toured the Korean War Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. with a National Park Service ranger. Sunday marks the 50th anniversary of the armistice that ended the conflict. The president said he came, quote, to honor those who served.
Our nation is to be eternally grateful for the men and women who serve today, as we are for those who have served in the past.
The memorial itself features 19 stainless steel statues depicting U.S. troops during the war. It also includes a long black granite wall etched with the images of 2,500 faces of soldiers. Today was the president's first visit to the memorial.
Hey, watch it!
Down in front!
Hey, we made it!
Yeah.
4 hours back-to-back Godzilla movies!
Wait!
Sorry. Did you see that cute girl on the end as we came in?
Oh, who could miss her?
So ask her out.
What?
No. Excuse me. My friend here wants to know if the girl on the aisle will go out with her. Pass it down.
Ask the girl over there if she wants to meet the Salona. Pass it down.
Hey, that dude over there wants to meet the girl next to you when the flick's over.
Excuse me, miss. There's a guy down there who wants to know if you're an organ and tissue donor.
Yes, of course.
Are you an organ and tissue donor? It's a simple but important question. Talk to your family today. Make sure they know your decision so there'll be no question later.
Hey, buddy. She said yeah. Oh, hey, buddy. Me too.
What?
Share your life. Share your decision. Call 1-800-355-SHARE for a free brochure. 1-800-355-SHARE. A message from the Advertising Council and the Coalition on Donation.
The boom in home sales may be leveling out now this month. The National Association of Realtors has released a report today showing sales of existing homes was down a touch, 0.3% for the month of June. Analysts had been forecasting sales of pre-owned homes at a rate of about 6 million, but home sales edged just under that rate, coming in at 5.83 million. Meanwhile, new home sales surged 4.7% to an all-time high. Analysts say the unusually low interest rates have helped to bring home buyers back into the market in droves.
Hey, Mom, are you ready for some good news? Tax rebate checks will be arriving over the next 3 weeks. Are you ready for some more? Sears will cash your rebate check free of charge with any purchase. And since you'll be in the neighborhood, why not start saving on back-to-school items? Right now, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bonco, and Mud. In styles like low-rise, boot-cut, button-fly, straight, carpenter, and stretch. Just bring your tax rebate check to any Sears, because savings like these are too good to pass up. Sale ends August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
Embattled California Governor Gray Davis now has only 76 days to persuade California voters not to kick him out of office. Correspondent Steve Fredericks tells us governor says he's ready for the fight.
Lieutenant Governor Cruz Bustamante announced Thursday that October the 7th is the date an election will be held to attempt to recall Governor Gray Davis. Bustamante and other Davis supporters say the campaign against the recall will be hard fought.
Just because you're mad at somebody doesn't mean you spend $35 million to oust somebody.
California constitutional expert Leo McElroy predicts the results of the recall election could end up in the courts.
We're probably going to see lawsuits on this for the next several years. There are holes that you could drive a truck through here.
If Davis is retained in office, the state would have to repay him what he spent to fight the effort to oust him. In Sacramento, I'm Steve Fredericks.
And I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. What could the Lost in Space robot and Star Wars R2-D2 have in common with a phenomenon called dieseling? Will Robinson and Luke Skywalker know, and when I come back, I'll tell you.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is racing. For Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and John Andretti, there's one more key to racing. Champion spark plugs. They race different makes of cars. Chevy, Pontiac, Dodge, Ford. But they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion spark plugs.
Just like Will and Luke have some far-fetched friends to warn them of impending danger, your car has ways to warn you of the impending danger of neglected maintenance. One tune-up red flag is dieseling. Known as afterrun, dieseling occurs when an engine chugs on after the ignition is turned off. Causes? Inferior gas, excessive idle speed, and carbon in the combustion chamber. Dieseling is just one warning that, if neglected, may leave you lost in space. The space alongside the road. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to our program today. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting coast to coast on ground-based terrestrial real-life radio stations and from the Sirius radio satellite system deep in outer space, beaming down to people who have Sirius radio receivers, which are or are soon to be standard equipment in Ford, Chrysler, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Mazda, Land Rover, Dodge, Jeep, Mini, Volkswagen, Audi, Nissan, and Infiniti cars, and Jaguar as well. And we're also broadcasting live on the internet on radiopower.org and ieamericaradio.com. And archived at whiterosesociety.org. And you can drop into our website at tomhartmanshow.com or liberaltalkradio.com and get into our chat room and say hello if you'd like. We've got an interesting program today. In the second hour, we're going to be talking with the communications director of REP America. This is the Republicans for Environmental Protection. That'll be an interesting show. In the third hour, Rama Schneider's going to come in and sit in for me as I'm dashing off to a workshop at Omega Institute in Rhinebeck that I'm teaching this weekend that starts actually at 8 o'clock tonight. And in our first hour, I want to just go over the news. It's Friday. I'm just going to, rather than having a specific topic, as we almost always do, to focus the hour, I guess the topic will be what the heck is going on in the world. You know, it's particularly with this administration, this war, this all this stuff. I've got a bunch of emails here. We've got some fascinating news stories I want to go through and take a look at the real situation in the world. Along those lines, also, open lines. If you'd like to call, if there's anything you want to talk about, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Something we haven't talked about, anything you think should be on the agenda, something that you'd like Louise, our producer, to put on the list of things to do shows about. Just to remind you, next week I will be gone all week. I'm teaching this workshop all week long. And Monday, Wednesday, and Friday will be repeat shows. On Wednesday, in fact, we're going to repeat the day that we interviewed Joe Trippi of the Dean campaign. And on Tuesday, Rama will be here to fill in. And on Thursday, we're going to have Ski Anderson of the Ski and Skinner show on WLS in Chicago. And he's going to fill in for 3 hours on Thursday. So that's our week next week. And then I will be back for the rest of forever with a few occasional exceptions. bringing you into the Democracy Zone. Tom, I'm listening to your show about electronic voting machines, and I thought you might be interested in this, writes Beth. She said, she didn't give a city here. I'm not sure where she is. She says, in early July, the California Secretary of State, Kevin Shelley, released a report by an ad hoc group, the Ad Hoc Touchscreen Task Force. The task force was formed in response to concerns over the security of direct recording electronic voting machines, these DRE machines, that record votes electronically, and the related issue, the value of a paper trail. The report is available for review by the public until the end of July. The public is encouraged to review the report and submit their comments to the Secretary of State. And the report can be accessed here in the URL. And I'll give this fairly quickly because, you know, this is radio. We've got a lot of things to get to. But what I want to suggest, first of all, is that, Beth, go to our website, tomhartmanshow.com. Go to the message board and post this. And that way it'll be up there permanently and anybody can click on it and they'll have the link. And secondly, I'm sure you can find this on Google. She says perhaps you can help inform your California listeners. The website is https.ss.ca.gov/elections/taskforce.htm, and it's all lowercase and it's all run together. ss.ca.gov/elections/taskforce.htm. Thank you, Bev, Beth, for sharing that. Again, I get a lot of emails. Frankly, it's a lot easier if you just call 1-800-TALK-YES, 825-5937, and share information with people, because I'm getting about 200 emails a day, and I'm just kind of buried in them. And, in fact, along those lines, Pablo in Santa Fe is on the line. Pablo, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
I am great, although I've got an incredible echo in my ears. What's up, Pablo?
Well, I wanted to comment on the obsession with the photos of Saddam's dead son.
Yes.
That happened. Today's Friday. This happened on Tuesday morning, so it's day four of this. And I've noticed that basically it seems like the Bush administration is milking this for every way they can to get media coverage of it. Now they're, showing a video or something of it. But basically they're using this to put the 9/11 investigation story in the background, and also the intelligence fabrications in Iraq.
And they're doing a very good job of it. I mean, first it was, we got them, and then it was, now we've got to convince the Iraqis, and then it was, should we show the pictures, and then it was, okay, here's the pictures, and it's going to be a good thing, and then, maybe it's going to be a bad thing, and every day they've allowed there to be controversy. In fact, they've, as you say, milked this. They've promoted controversy around these pictures here on day 127 of the search for weapons of mass distraction.
Yeah, and what the Bush people will say is, oh, we need to convince the Iraqi people, but this whole thing is for U.S. consumption, for internal consumption, to distract the people from, you know, their lying and their fabrications, whether it be 9/11 or the Iraq invasion.
Yep. I agree with you, Pablo. I'm right there with you. I thank you for the call and the comment, and I would encourage people to, for example, go to CNN. They actually have feedback places for many of their news shows, and tell them, hey, you know, the administration is trying to change the subject here. We still want to know why we went into Iraq. Did this administration lie to us in order to secure the second largest oil field on the planet? What increasingly appears may well be the first largest oil field on the planet. And in order to stabilize the Middle East, that is to say, make sure that Saudi Arabia and OPEC don't transfer from dollars to euros and all these kind of things. Did we go in to secure our oil? And as a nice subsequent kind of fallout to that, to enrich a bunch of our buddies like Halliburton, or was Saddam really preparing in 45 minutes to launch missiles against the United States or to give nuclear weapons to terrorists who would bring them in to the Baltimore Harbor, like in that movie, and blow up part of the United, you know, what is it? What's going on here, guys? We'd like to know. We'd like to get to the bottom of this. Day 127, 300 Americans dead, over 1,000 injured, somewhere between 6,000 and 10,000 Iraqi civilians dead. somewhere between 10 and 70,000 Iraqi military dead. And the vast majority of those military, I guarantee you, were not kids who wanted to be in the military. Saddam was running around scooping them up at gunpoint. And their mothers and fathers are grieving just as much as anybody. You know, it is so easy, as Adolf Hitler demonstrated so vividly in the 1930s, to think of a human being as something less than a human being when you convert them into a cipher or a statistic or a label. And it's just wrong. It's just wrong. With all the doubt that is surfacing about the legitimacy of our voting process, perhaps it's time to petition the UN to monitor our elections, says Ed in Dayton, Ohio. Certainly we should have nothing but open source code involved in our electronic voting. The idea of private ownership of any part of the voting process is antithetical to the intent of the founders and unconstitutional. This is laissez-faire run amok. Adam Smith is rolling over in his grave, not to mention Thomas Paine and Thomas Jefferson. Ed, I agree. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Joe in Newark, New Jersey, is on the line. Joe, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you, Joe?
I'm great here. Hey, I just wanted to talk to you about the report, the 9/11 report that just came out, and that 28-page gap, which I think is pathetic. It shows where the real problems of the 9/11 are based, and it's the link with the Saudi government and the wealthy Saudis, and the whole reason why that's not being exposed is because of the oil and our connection with the Bush connection with the Saudi government.
Yeah, did Papa Bush working for the Carlyle Group and the Saudis and yeah, I agree. We have an addiction in this country to Saudi oil, and it has been hurting us ever since the Eisenhower administration.
Yeah, and if it wasn't for the oil, I mean, Bush probably would have invaded a long time ago. It's just pathetic to think that our addiction to oil or our dependency on oil is what is keeping the American public from really knowing what happened on 9/11.
Yeah, yeah, and I've got a few news stories here I want to share with you on that very topic. In fact, there's some interesting. Interesting things coming out, and some interesting stuff that came out back in November of 2001 that I want to get to.
Yeah.
But you were saying, Joe, pardon me.
It's a good term, the 28-page gap. I mean, keep using that over and over. Maybe it'll
sort of like the
on.
18-minute gap?
Yeah. Similar, yeah. That's all I had to say, so keep up the good work.
Okay, thanks, Joe. I appreciate the call. Thank you very kindly. The 18-minute gap. We heard from Richard Nixon yesterday, and, of course, that 18-minute gap, there were some college students who were trying to resurrect that thing a few months ago, and apparently it had been recorded over more than once so that the little remnants of magnetism that might have been left in the tape were really and truly gone. Judy says, I heard on the radio this morning that Canada is sending their garbage, medical waste, to our country. This case over the bridge in Detroit, blood was found leaking out of the garbage onto the highway. NAFTA allows this. Can we not protest? Where was NAFTA about Enron, WorldCom, etc.? It's a thuggish trade organization, not good for it. Well, where NAFTA was, Judy, in Illinois, in response to this sort of thing. The NAFTA is about promoting the interests of corporations, not the interests of we, the people. The cons would have you believe that the interests of corporations and the interests of human beings are one and the same. They want you to think that the nature of the free market is such, what is called the so-called free market is such, that when corporations prosper, everybody gets to smile. But the reality, as we have seen since the early days of feudalism, 6,000 years ago, certainly through the years of British feudalism, the reality, as we have seen, is that when commerce is absolutely unconstrained, it does exactly what it's designed to do, and that is generate profits for its owners. Now, being the owner of a corporation and having been the owner of corporations for over 30 years, I have to say, I have nothing against that. What I have a problem with is when my ability to make a profit by running my corporation harms the public good, and the public, we the people, have no right to stop that, prevent it, constrain it, or control it. then my rights have trumped the public good, and that's not right. That is not democracy. That is not in the public good. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You're kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Hey, Mom, are you ready for some good news? Tax rebate checks will be arriving over the next 3 weeks. Are you ready for some more? Sears will cash your rebate check free of charge with any purchase. And since you'll be in the neighborhood, why not start saving on back-to-school items? Right now, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bonco, and Mud. In styles like low-rise, boot-cut, button-fly, straight, carpenter, and stretch. Just bring your tax rebate check to any Sears, because savings like these are too good to pass up. Sale ends August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Prepare to be astonished!
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of Progressive Talk Radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really?
Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kicking off your morning with Doug Steffens' Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speed Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7, followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, IE America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
He's 5'2" and he's 6'4". He fights with missiles and with spears. He's all of 31 and he's only 17. He's been a soldier for for 1,000 years. He's a Catholic, a Hindu, an atheist, a Jain, a Buddhist and a Baptist and a Jew. And he knows he shouldn't kill, and he knows he always will kill you for me, my friend, and me for you.
The universal soldier, and he's fighting for us. Are our soldiers in Iraq fighting, as the cons like to say, to protect American freedom? If so, please identify for me the freedom that they are protecting. I can do it for you. It's the freedom to drive an SUV for the next 40 years as the oil around the world is running out, as the oil in the United States is diminishing rapidly. The Pennsylvania oil fields are dry. The New Jersey oil fields are dry. The New York State oil fields are dry. The Ohio oil fields are dry. Remember Standard Oil of Ohio, Standard Oil in New Jersey? Remember Pennzoil, Pennsylvania? The oil fields of Indiana are dry. The oil fields of Kentucky are dry. The oil fields of Oklahoma are running dry. The oil fields of Texas are about half gone. The oil fields of Alaska, all the commercial ones, are down to the point where they're not paying the citizens of Alaska a royalty anymore. The oil is not coming down. And Anwar, if we were to pump all that oil out, would supply this nation for 6 months. Of course, it'll take 30 years to pump it out, so it'll supply maybe 1% of our needs for 30 years. But there's enough oil there to supply just our automobiles for 6 months. And that's it. And so if you want to have your SUVs and you want to have an oil-fired power plants, and you want to have ExxonMobil and all the big oil companies, Halliburton, Harkin, making big bucks with taxpayer subsidies, oil depletion credits and oil tax deductions and import allowances. And if you want to have all that, you want to have all these good buddies of George Bush and Dick Cheney and Condoleezza Rice, who has a tanker named after her by Exxon. If you want to have all these folks getting richer and richer and an American foreign policy based on the addiction to this substance, and ignore the way the rest of the world is moving to alternative fuels and energy systems as fast as it can, then yeah, I guess you could say that our soldiers are dying for American freedom. I think it's a damn poor thing. I am so disgusted by what is going on in Washington, D.C. right now. And I am so pleased to see that some of the Democrats and some of the Republicans that the con news services like Faux News don't talk about are actually starting to stand up and say, wait a minute, this isn't right. In fact, we'll be talking to one at the top of the hour. Yesterday we had a caller who said, come on, you don't mean to tell me that the neoconservatives actually wanted us to bomb Iraq years ago? I thought, you know, we just discovered all this weapons of mass destruction. Well, we knew that they had them, but, you know, they were under control. But, you know, you're saying it's about oil, it's about geostrategic stuff. No, we went there because Saddam had reconstituted his uranium program, his nuclear weapons program. This is the exact quote of Dick Cheney. He has reconstituted his nuclear program. He says, no, we went in there because he was going to attack us. I said, no. Project for New American Century, check it out. Well, Barbara emailed me this. I don't know what state Barbara is in. But it's off the newamericancentury.org website. Bombing Iraq Isn't Enough by William Kristol and Robert Kagan. It ran in the New York Times on January 30th, 1998. The only way to achieve the goal is to remove Mr. Hussein and his regime from power. Any policy short of that will fail. The only way to remove the threat of those weapons is to remove him, and that means using our air power and ground force and finishing the task left undone in 1991. This was in 1998. Stay tuned. Tom Hartman on the IE America Network. We'll be right back.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller.
The U.S.'s expansion of so-called free trade agreements continued yesterday in Congress. Despite opposition from organized labor groups who blame free trade agreements like NAFTA for the millions of manufacturing jobs which have fled overseas, the House approved trade bills with Chile and Singapore. If enacted, the pair of bills will slash tariffs, grant corporations in signatory nations the right to sue governments, and will give biotech, pharmaceutical, and other companies greater power to enforce patent protections overseas. The legislation now heads to the Senate, where it is likely to pass.
A Teamster fired for drinking a Pepsi while working for Coke has his job back. Rick Bronson drove a delivery truck for Coca-Cola for 12 years until he was fired last month after being spotted sipping Pepsi in the back room of the Sylmar, California distribution warehouse. The Teamsters immediately challenged Bronson's termination, noting it may have been motivated by Bronson's union organizing activities. Bowing to the pressure and bad publicity, Coca-Cola has now reinstated Bronson with full back pay.
A U.S. retail chain with hundreds of stores in 14 states is under fire for its ties to sweatshop labor in the foreign dictatorship of Burma. Activists with Unite and Burma's Federation of Trade Unions launched a campaign this month targeting Fred's Incorporated, saying the retailer fills its stores with clothes produced in Burma, in turn sending tax money to one of the world's most repressive regimes. Human rights groups have long detailed the Burmese dictatorship's human rights abuses, including slave labor, rape, and the conscription of child soldiers. U.S. Representative Tom Lantos recently called on Congress to pass legislation banning all imports from Burma until human rights are respected.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it, Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
If you want it, here it is. Come and get it. Make your mind up fast. If you want it anytime, I can give it. But you better hurry, cause it may not.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. And it's Friday. We're just going through the news. I actually have a couple of broad topics here to talk about in the news. One has to do with the 9/11 inquiry, and I want to get into that in just a minute. We've got a couple of folks on the line, though. First, 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 825-5937. And John in Long Beach, California is on the line. John, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tom.
Hey, good morning.
I agree with your stance on oil. I mean, you know, I think Japan has two cars, hybrid cars, that can get 70 miles a gallon.
Yeah, I drive one of them.
Oh, that's good. I don't know about their power or anything, but, you know, you have that. But, you know, there's one other thing, too, that is just as important as the oil if something isn't done, and I don't know how you can address it. And that's Earth being overpopulated by about 4 billion people.
Yeah, it's a very. That's also a very real problem. Interesting. I wrote a book that has a lot that's in some to a large extent based on that issue called The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight about the intersection of oil and population and culture. And there are some folks who claim that the problem is that we don't have enough birth control, and that is a real problem. And there are other folks who claim that the problem is that we need to raise everybody to the middle class lifestyle of America, which is where you get zero population growth, which of course is not possible because you'd have to have four planet Earths if everybody just lived at the level of an Appalachian family at the poverty level. But the reality is that whenever a culture adopts a belief system which gives women relatively equal power with men, the population stabilizes within a single generation. So the big issue here for the world is that about five out of the 6 billion people on Earth live in cultures where women are bought and sold like cattle and have no rights, and that's what's fueling the population explosion, and that's what needs to change. And these fundamentalists in our administration are not helping that.
No, they're not. The thing is, some people say, well, if you can stabilize it, the population at 6 billion, that'd be okay. I don't agree with that. It's got to be reduced, not stabilized at a certain number.
Yeah, the numbers that I laid out in Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight indicate that somewhere the planet can support, or at least it could before we've lost half of the planet's usable topsoil has vanished in the last 60 years. But prior to that time, the planet could support between a half a billion and a billion people on current sunlight, that is, without the use of oil.
Yeah.
And the other 5 billion people are just living because of oil. Oil-fueled, oil-manufactured pesticides, oil-fueled tractors, oil-made fertilizers and all that kind of thing. And as oil becomes more expensive, food's going to become more expensive. And we're already seeing this with the famines in Africa.
Yeah, it's a problem that I don't know how they're going to solve it.
Yeah, well, you know, the Chinese have this draconian system. It's not anything that I would recommend. I really think that the problem has to be cultural rather than power driven top down.
But even the Chinese system is not working.
No, it's not.
It works in the cities where they can crack down, but it's not working in the rural areas.
Right. They've added 300 million people to their population in the last 20 years, although they would have added a billion had they not done what they were doing. But again, as I said, if they had changed their culture rather than their laws, they wouldn't have the problem that they have. But changing a culture is not necessarily the easiest thing to do. I don't think that there's any easy answers here, John, and I think the world is in for a rough time, although what we can do is spread the word about the fact that that the ultimate human rights issue is the women's rights issue, and the ultimate population issue gets back to the women's rights issue. And the main challenge to this is fundamentalist religions around the world, and that's one of the problems that has to be confronted head on, in my opinion. John, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. Ben in Elgin, Illinois is on the line. Ben, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Oh, lost Ben. Okay. In that case, Chris in Charlotte is on the line. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hey, what's up? Love your show.
Thank you, Chris.
Since this is open phones, I suppose I can talk anything
sure.
I want. Here's a thought I'd like to ask you and get your thoughts on it. I think the real danger of China isn't their military or anything. I think the true danger from China is that they're proving to the world that you don't need to respect human rights and labor laws in order to experience economic growth. And, it just scares me. It's like they keep growing economically, yet they still keep, you know, doing all these horrible things. And that's just showing the rest of the world, showing all the tyrants of the world that, hey, you know what, you don't have to respect human rights if you really don't want to. Look, we're doing just great. And that's my thought on that. I'll take any answer off the air.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. You've identified a real problem, and it's a very significant one. And the reality is that it's not that China is showing the rest of the world that you can grow economically by being a tyrannical form of government, but that China is showing the rest of the world that you can grow economically by having a relationship with the United States, where the United States will willingly, massively transfer its wealth to a third world country in exchange for that country exploiting its people and its natural resources to the benefit of the United States. Of course, China isn't the first to do this. It started with Japan after World War II. Well, you can go back to the banana republics before that. I mean, you know, this goes way back. 105 years ago today, we took Puerto Rico. I mean, this goes, you know, back, go take it back to Teddy Roosevelt if you want. But the point is that it is that my concern is that it's not that China is setting the example. It's that the United States is setting the example by saying we hold democratic ideals. We hold the ideal that a government is constituted of, by, and for its people, and that the purpose of government is to promote the general welfare and secure the blessings of liberty to this and future generations, and life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and all this high talk, and democracy of, by, and for the people in a constitutionally limited republic. And then we say, but if it's going to make some money for some fat cat campaign contributor who owns a politician or three, we'll do business with people who kill and murder their own people and run, you know, slave labor camps. You want to talk about human rights abuses. What China is doing makes Saddam Hussein look like a good guy. And we are supporting him. It's not China in a vacuum. It's we who are supporting him. Ben in Elgin, Illinois, is back in the line. Ben, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey there.
Hey, Ben.
You know, I drive a hybrid car, too, and that's part of what I want to talk about. I'm a product of, you know, of growing up in the, you know, early 70s and reading Population Bomb and Limits to Growth and all those other things that everyone said were ridiculous back then that all seem to have come true.
Yeah.
And part of what I was very interested in back then, and still am now, is in alternative energy technologies and appropriate technology deployment. To what degree do you think we can ameliorate our problems with running out of fossil energy by a really aggressive program of putting together appropriate and alternative energy technologies?
I think the potential there is absolutely tremendous. Just in the last 6 months, they've gotten a tenfold increase in the efficiency of solar cells. Wind
turbines.
You should
see the windmill I saw. I saw a windmill. Looks a lot like an egg beater. This mm-hmm. thing was spinning in a 10-mile-an-hour breeze and generating 1,000 watts, and it was not vibrating in the slightest.
Yeah.
It was very quiet.
Yeah, countries all over the world are making this shift. The average European... the average Western European, France, England, Germany, Italy, the average Western and the Scandinavian countries uses 1/7 the energy that the average American does. And I defy anybody to tell me that they have a quality of life that is inferior to ours. I've lived there. And it's very simple. Their governments, if you design or build an energy-efficient building, the architects get tax breaks for designing these kind of buildings. The contractors get particular breaks, or there are penalties if it's not energy efficient. The people who own the building, there's this whole long string of tax incentives to create energy efficiency, and there's a whole string of tax incentives to move to alternative forms of energy. And we actually had that here in the United States under President Carter. And Reagan's first act of office, his first official act of office, was to remove the solar collectors from the top of the White House. And within the first week that he was in office, he had undone all of Carter's legislation, which had given birth to an entire industry across the United States. And Reagan killed that industry off as payback to the folks in the oil industry who put him into power, who raised him to the governorship of California and brought him to be president of the United States. And those same folks, of course, have been funded George Sr. and now Shrub.
You know, I think, though, that perhaps tax breaks, although they would certainly work, I think, because we can see that, you know, that when you make tax policy, you manipulate the economy. Maybe that's the wrong place to be putting the emphasis. If we would just cease to subsidize coal and oil to the extent that we do, and nuclear, we subsidize tremendously.
Hugely.
We would probably, you know, by just market forces, put enough pressure on people to make the change.
Well, and in particular, if we hadn't just seized 20% of the world's oil.
Right.
As long as we have access to cheap oil, And as long as we're providing taxpayer subsidies, a massive transfer of wealth program from the pockets of the middle class to the pockets of the oil companies, and that's, I mean, you talk about welfare. This is orders of magnitude larger than the amount of money that goes to human beings in the United States.
Now, you know what I think is the mine canary we have to watch in terms of Western industrialized nations having, what problems we're going to see here? I think that if you look at Japan, which has got zero natural resources left.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a
all
tiny coal field and that's
wood.
It. You know, if Japan will starve. Japan won't be able to, if there's a serious problem with Mideast oil supplies, Japan is going to starve.
Yeah, I mean, it's what drove them to bomb Pearl Harbor, was that we cut off their, the Straits of Malacca, was it? We barricaded, and suddenly they had no access to Middle Eastern oil through the Gulf of India, and or the Indian Ocean there, and so they bombed Pearl Harbor. I mean, you know, some say Roosevelt wanted to draw them into the war. And that's why he did it. He certainly, you know, he knew he was provoking them. He was going to bring them to their knees.
I agree.
Yeah. And the Japanese are attacking this very aggressively. I mean, that's why the Honda Insight gets 70 miles to the gallon. I owned one for a while, and the Toyota Prius, which is what I drive now, gets, you know, on average around 55 miles to the gallon. And these cars have been out in Japan for years. The same year that our government gave $1 billion, 1,000 million of our taxpayer dollars to the big three automakers to develop what do you call the technology where this kind of car? Hybrid car technology. The same year that we gave $1 billion in taxpayer cash, I mean, this was actual grants to these corporations. That same year, Honda and Toyota were both selling hybrid cars in Japan. And,
you can walk right up to a Toyota dealer, plunk down $20,000, and walk out with a hybrid right now.
Yep, as I said, I'm driving one.
Yep, me too.
So yeah, these are the changes that need to be made, and I'm with you there on that, Ben. And thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. And we need to wake up from this addiction, this addiction to oil, and change things. And the good news is, I think that a lot of people are waking up. They're realizing it's not worth losing our men and women in service to defend the interests of the oil companies, or so that Americans can drive ever larger SUVs. And it's not ultimately in the interest of the planet, which we'll be getting to at the top of the hour with our guest. 1-800-TALK-YEST is our number. Raymond in Cement City, Michigan is on the line. Raymond, welcome to the
Tom Hartman afternoon.
Program. Hey,
listen,
how are
Tom,
you?
I was wondering if you could refresh my what I heard maybe, I think, Wednesday. One of your guests was talking about the prior to 9/11, actually prior to the election, Al Gore had made some specific recommendations for changes in government security or whatever that if they would have been implemented would have probably averted the 9/11 attack. Is that true? What is that all about? I just caught a brief glimpse of it. I couldn't catch the whole show.
Yeah. I don't have my folder on all that stuff right here in front of me, but there, when the Bush administration took power, and this is a matter of public record, the National Security Advisor, and I want to say Sandy Berger, but I don't think that's who it was, of the Clinton administration.
Yeah, Sandy Berger.
Okay, Sandy Berger is on record as having publicly said that when he handed off his files, knowledge, responsibilities to the new National Security Advisor for the Bush administration, who, as I recall, was Condoleezza Rice,
right.
He said, our first priority right now is tracking Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda, because these guys are up to something, and it's going to be something really nasty. And here's all the information we've compiled, and it looks like it's coming from Saudi Arabia, and you need to be doing something about this right away. And they put it on a shelf because, well, actually, I've got a story here that I keep meaning to get to, that not only did they put it on a shelf, but as Greg Palast wrote back in November of 2001, here's the headline. This is from The Guardian in London. FBI and U.S. spy agents say Bush spiked bin Laden probes before 9/11. Now, this was written 3 weeks after 9/11. FBI military officials in Washington say they were prevented for political reasons from carrying out full investigations into members of the bin Laden family in the U.S. before the terrorist attacks of 9/11. The FBI file marked secret and coded 199, which means a case involving national security, records that Abdullah bin Laden, who lived in Washington, and it goes through this whole thing. And, of course, right after 9/11, the only plane that was allowed to fly in the sky in the United States was a jet that was traveling all around the United States, picking up members of the bin Laden family to transport them to Saudi Arabia, where they have, to this day, not been interrogated by the FBI. So, yeah, there is something there, and there's a lot more to it than just that. Thanks for bringing that up, Raymond. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program, Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle, here on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Mom, see you later.
Jason? Who else is going to the concert with you?
Anna and Kyle.
So you'll be home...
At 11.
Good. Make sure to call me if anything comes up, okay?
You know I never forget.
I know you don't. Now, about that music.
Yeah, isn't it awesome?
Well...
Let your kids be who they are, but know what they're doing. Talk, know, ask. Parents, the anti-drug. For more information, call 1-800-788-2800. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
One of the reasons people give for not buying LoJack is where they live. But that has little to do with whether your car will be stolen. It's where you drive. Do you drive to work? To a mall? To the city? That's why you need LoJack. Nationally, stolen vehicles that have LoJack are recovered over 90% of the time. And LoJack guarantees they'll recover your vehicle within 24 hours after you report it stolen to the police, or LoJack will reimburse you the cost of your LoJack system. See your car dealer or LoJack.com.
Hey, Mom, are you ready for some good news? Tax rebate checks will be arriving over the next 3 weeks. Are you ready for some more? Sears will cash your rebate check free of charge with any purchase. And since you'll be in the neighborhood, why not start saving on back-to-school items? Right now, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LAI, Bonco, and Mud. In styles like low-rise, boot-cut, button-fly, straight, carpenter, and stretch. Just bring your tax rebate check to any Sears, because savings like these are too good to pass up. Sale ends August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
Are you tired of progressives spending all their energy on defensive struggles where a victory simply maintains the status quo? We are too, and we're doing something about it. At ReclaimDemocracy.org, we're taking the initiative to revoke corporate power and restore citizen authority over corporations to enable genuine progress on the many issues that we all care about. Get involved. Visit us online at ReclaimDemocracy.org or call 406-582-1224.
Is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm. Fan chi la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fan chi la.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
Who's on the newsmaker line? George W.?
I thought maybe you could ask me some of them questions.
Oh, okay. In the past, it appeared that Kucinich supported the global gag rule that you have enforced. What's your position on that?
Vice President Cheney assures me that the gag rule is very important in case I say something stupid.
Oh. What do you have in mind for the Middle East and the situation in the Korean Peninsula?
Gonna kill him.
You're gonna kill him, okay.
Gonna kill him.
Are you interested in an in-depth inquiry into the missing weapons of mass destruction?
Weapons of mass production are there. We found two trailers. Now, my daddy has an Airstream, so I know about trailers.
Yeah.
And if they roll over on a little car or something, there's a lot of destruction there.
Yeah, I see. Okay,
they flip over in those desert winds.
Yeah.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
What a wonderful, wonderful world this could be. What a wonderful, 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 wonderful world. Don't know much about history. Don't know much about.
But we got to learn something about history if we want to take this country back to the values that it once held, the values of democracy. Om1800 in our chat room says, did you hear about the water appropriations bill in the United States House of Representatives exempting the entire middle Rio Grande from the Endangered Species Act? And he says, just thought your New Mexico listeners might want a heads up. New Mexico legislator Wilson is the spearhead on that. You may want to, those of you in New Mexico who are listening, may want to contact Representative Wilson and say, what the heck is up with this thing? What's going on? 1-800-TALK, yes, Brian from Santa Fe is on the line. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. Brian, what's up?
Hey, Tom. I am in Santa Fe. I'm in New Mexico, and we unfortunately have Heather Wilson and Pete Domenici, two of the least inventive and probably least intelligent senators and representatives in the Congress. They unfortunately don't really care much about animals and water rights and that sort of thing. But about this 9/11 commission and the report that came out, I'm curious, and it'll be interesting to find out. I suppose eventually we'll be able to read this thing. But maybe that also will be edited out, is to whether or not the attacks could have been stopped in midair during the hour and 15 minutes that these jetliners were flying around.
That's a question that a lot of people have been asking for a long time, and I haven't seen anything about that. And of course, I haven't read the report yet, but in the press coverage of the report, there's been no discussion of that. I think the report, of course, you know, keep in mind, this is this little tiny congressional inquiry. There still is not an independent commission doing its job on this thing.
And
there are no independent investigators. So this is this congressional inquiry. And I really think that they're looking at the intelligence that led up to 9/11, not the event itself.
It's just interesting to me to see how a lot of what people a year ago were calling conspiracy theories are now starting to sound a little more solid as things come out.
Anyway, love
the show and appreciate it.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks. I appreciate the call. And, what sounded like crackpot stuff in November of 01 is starting to sound pretty spooky. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Several men believed to be part of former Iraqi President Saddam Hussein's security detachment have now been arrested in a raid near Tikrit in northern Iraq. Those arrests were made following a tip, apparently, from an informant. According to Major General Ray Odierno, who commands the Army's 4th Infantry Division, troops detained 13 people, 5 to 10 of which, in his words, are believed to be Saddam Hussein's personal security detachment. President Bush has now ordered the Pentagon to place, quote, appropriate military capabilities off Liberia. The White House says American troops will support a U.N. peacekeeping mission in the war-torn nation. Officials also said the U.S. role will be limited both in time and scope as multinational forces under the United Nations then assume the responsibility for peacekeeping activities. The announcement comes, though, amid now a 7th day of fierce fighting in the capital, Monrovia, the worst attack since Monday when 60 people were killed. The latest on the conflict now from correspondent Suzanne Chislett.
Around 30 shells landed in an area of the capital packed with residential districts, shopping streets, and the U.S. Embassy. People reportedly ran for cover as the attack took place shortly after dawn. Street fighting is also continuing in other parts of the city. The rebels remain in control of the outskirts of Monrovia and the port area, with the government still holding the city center. Several hundred people are believed to have been killed in the fighting in recent days. Suzanne Chislett reporting.
Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas will discuss the Middle East peace plan today with President Bush at the White House. Speaking through a translator earlier, Abbas told NBC's Today Show polls of Israelis and Palestinians indicate both sides still favor peace.
If we look at public opinion polls among both peoples, we find that they indeed want peace, which means that there is hope for the people.
Abbas says Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon still needs to take steps to advance the peace process, including freezing new settlements and releasing about 6,000 Palestinian prisoners.
Hey, watch it!
Down in front! Hey, we made it!
Yeah.
4 hours of back-to-back Godzilla movies!
Wait!
Sorry. Did you see that cute girl on the end as we came in?
Oh, who could miss her?
So ask her out.
What?
No. Excuse me. My friend here wants to know if the girl on the aisle will go out with her. Pass it down.
Ow.
Ask the girl over there if she wants to meet the Salona. Pass it down.
Hey, that dude over there wants to meet the girl next to you when the flick's over.
Excuse me, miss? There's a guy down there who wants to know if you're an organ and tissue donor.
Oh, yes. Of course.
Are you an organ and tissue donor? It's a simple but important question. Talk to your family today. Make sure they know your decision so there'll be no question later.
Hey, buddy. She said yeah. Oh, hey, buddy. Me too.
What? Share your life. Share your decision. Call 1-800-355-SHARE for a free brochure. 1-800-355-SHARE. A message from the Advertising Council and the Coalition on Donation.
The House of Representatives has approved a bill allowing Americans to import drugs from 25 industrialized nations, including Canada, where the same medicines frequently sell at a fraction of the cost here. The measure passed by an unexpectedly wide margin, 243 to 146. California has set October 7th as the date a recall vote will be taken. Voters will decide if they'll remove Governor Gray Davis from the State House in Sacramento. As voters waited to hear just how many candidates may challenge Davis, Standard & Poor's cut the rating on nearly $27 billion of California debt to almost junk status.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Powell, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer's got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
Mental health professionals and advocates for sexual assault victims say they're disturbed. Many media outlets have released the name of the young woman who's accused NBA star Kobe Bryant of raping her. More from correspondent Don Dornberg.
Dr. Barbara Rothbaum, the director of Emory University's Trauma and Anxiety Center, says there's shame and embarrassment related to being a rape victim that's different than, say, being an armed robbery victim. And she says it's important for the media to draw the line.
And I think that we need a couple of media institutions to say, no, this is our policy and we're not going to do it. And we understand you've probably already heard the name from another source, but you're not going to hear it from this source.
Dr. Rothbaum says misconceptions that continue to abound about rape include that it's somehow the victim's fault and that you can't get raped unless you want it. Don Dornberg, Atlanta.
A Colorado judge has even issued a partial gag order because of the intense media coverage of the case, particularly because some of it's been wrong. A lawyer is now representing a woman who was wrongly identified as the alleged victim on the Internet. Her parents hired the attorney to help clear her name. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. On missions, master spies synchronize their watches. In ballets, talented choreographers synchronize their dancers. And in One Direction, manual transmissions synchronize their gears. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it. We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first, until we tested 6 tornado units, and in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today, or visit tornadoair.com. Like the Mission Impossible team goes forward by synchronizing their watches, manual transmissions go forward by synchronizing their gears. For smooth transitions as you shift, the rotational speed of one set of forward gears is matched by synchronizer rings to the speed of meshing gears. Reverse gear, however, is not synchronized, so it sometimes grinds in protest. Here's a hint. Don't force it. Just push the clutch in and pause a few seconds, then try it again. Now, you're in sync with both your gears. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program, broadcasting here live on the IE America Radio Network, on the Sirius Satellite Radio System, and on the web on radiopower.org and ieamericaradio.com with archives at whiterosesociety.org. I'm going to drop into our chat room. Go to tomhartmanshow.com and click on the link to the chat room, and you can get in there and participate in a very interesting conversation that's going on right now about what's going on in California and what's going on in New Mexico. Some fascinating folks with interesting things to say. Our environment seems to be at risk, some would say. Global warming may wipe out a fifth of wildflower species, study warns, for example. This is from last week's The Independent in the UK. One out of every 5 species of wildflower could die this century if levels of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere double in line with predictions, scientists said yesterday. And on it goes. It seems like every day there's something new about this, about the problems that are being, the havoc that is being wrought on our environment by our lifestyle or by our unwillingness to rein in the behavior of some of our largest and most polluting corporations from destruction of the environment. And into this fray has walked an organization, an institution called Republicans for Environmental Protection. Jim DePesso is the communications director of Rep America, the national grassroots organization of Republicans for Environmental Protection, and of the Rep Environmental Education Foundation, a sister organization which works to build a conservative constituency for environmental protection. Before joining Rep staff in 2001, he served on Rep America's board of directors for 5 years, beginning in 1996. Jim, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Well, it's good to be here, Tom.
Thank you. Glad that you were on the show about a month or so ago, weren't you?
I believe I was. That's right.
Yeah, so nice to have you back.
Sure.
I remember that conversation, and I remember that show. I remember going into it expecting one thing and coming out with something altogether different. What are the issues that your group, Republicans for Environmental Protection, are carrying to the Republican Party right now?
The issues that we focus most of our time and attention on are energy and, of course, the related climate issues that you just spoke about a moment ago. We also do a lot of work on public lands, forests, parks, monuments, and so forth. And we would like to do more with the clean air and clean water issues that are, of course, of basic concern to just about every American. So those are the three sets of issues that we spend most of our time on.
Now, I assume you're aware of the fact that in every single one of the areas that you just defined, the Bush administration has been working aggressively to reduce environmental protections or thwart environmental protections or promote the interests of campaign donors and large corporations over the interests of the environment. Do you argue that statement?
It's fair to say that the administration's actions in those issue areas that we're concerned about are very disappointing and are not consistent with the traditional values that we think the administration ought to be promoting. For example, energy as a clean energy as an economic development and national security strategy. Public lands conservation to protect our nation's natural heritage and historic heritage, and, of course, clean air and water, which we absolutely have to have for our own health and to maintain our prosperity.
And survive.
And survive, for that matter.
You can't go very long without breathing or drinking, and if it's particularly poisoned, in fact, there was an article in New Scientist just a couple of weeks ago that very, very, very small increases in the type of particulate emission that comes from automobile exhaust, very small increases in that actually, in statistical analysis, have shown a real significant impact on heart disease, that people who are exposed to auto exhaust are much more vulnerable to heart disease than had ever been suspected before.
Yeah, Tom, you're right. We're finding out more and more how really harmful these really, really tiny particles are when they get deeply into our lungs and embedded there. They can cause all sorts of havoc with our bodies, and so it's really important to get a handle on those particulates from auto exhaust and especially from diesel exhaust.
Yeah. Now, the administration just turned back. Was it a regulation or was it a law that they were fighting? The thing with the diesel exhaust, there was a big stink about it about 6 months ago.
Well, yeah, and it's something that the administration did that was good. Just before Christy Whitman left, she announced a proposed regulation that would strengthen standards for what is called non-road diesel equipment. Those are things like bulldozers and earth-moving equipment that mm-hmm. really, really emit a lot of these harmful particulates we just talked about. And so this is a good proposal, and
take some flack for that?
Well, they did from the industry. Of course, the industry that makes this type of equipment was upset, but they went ahead and pushed the proposal forward. So we're encouraging EPA to finalize these new regulations, and I think everybody should write in or contact EPA and encourage them to do so, because it is a good set of regulations.
Do you think it's going to happen, Jim?
I think so. I think in this particular area, in the area of regulating diesel emissions, the administration has followed through. I don't know exactly what the reason is why they have followed through. Maybe it's just that the science is so compelling. We know so much about the harm that small diesel particulates can cause, and because we know there are ways to fix it. There's just no argument against controlling these types of emissions. And they figured, look, we got to go forward with this. So in this particular area, they've been pretty good, and we should encourage the EPA to follow through and to finalize those regulations.
Okay, great. We're talking with Jim DePasso of the Republicans for Environmental Protection. If you'd like to ask a question of Jim, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 825-5937. We can put you on the air with him. And, Jim, is there a website for your organization?
Yes. Go to our website at www.rep.org, Republicans for Environmental Protection, rep.org.
Great. Jim, question about the Republican Party here. The you know, for example, George Bush's, what he calls his Clear Skies Initiative, clearly is going to make the skies less clear. There's been all this Orwellian doublespeak going on in the Republican Party under this administration, but I've been watching politics since the 60s, and it seems that it goes all the way back aggressively to the Reagan administration. At what point, but I also remember Goldwater, and I remember Everett Dirksen, and I remember Dwight Eisenhower being people who, in my recollection, I may be wrong, I mean, that was a long time ago and I was fairly young then, but in my recollection that these were people who considered Republican values or conservative values to mean we protect the environment. I mean, Teddy Roosevelt, Republican Teddy Roosevelt, was the one who created most of our national parks and was created the modern environmentalist movement, or at least the modern, you know, wild areas movement in the United States. What happened? When did it change?
Well, I think your analysis is pretty good, Tom. Up until about the late 70s and early 80s, environmental protection and conservation truly was a bipartisan issue.
Well, in fact, Nixon created the EPA, didn't he?
Well, that's right. Nixon established the EPA. In fact, in 1970, Nixon went up to Congress and sent them a 37-point environmental platform and demanded that they pass it because he said now is the time to clean up our air and water and protect ourselves from toxics and poisons. And most of the Nixon program is what it is what today is our national framework of environmental protection laws. In the late 70s and early 80s, things started to change. The issue suddenly became much more partisan and polarized, and I think there's a number of reasons for that. Number one, you had the rise within the Republican Party of a very hard-edged ideological faction that somehow got this bizarre notion into their heads that protecting the environment and protecting public health and our natural heritage is some sort of big government plot that is going to destroy our economy and take away all of our liberty. Very bizarre notion.
Came from.
Very bizarre notion. They got that into their heads, and they are very these are very high-level people, and most of these folks, you see these D.C. think tanks like the Competitive Enterprise Institute and so forth that have encouraged that notion.
And where that started, Jim, but just in the event that you haven't tracked it down, is that goes back to objectivism, to the Ayn Rand folks, the Ayn Rand Institute and the Cato Institute, which is and the whole kind of pseudo libertarian movement, which is based on Ayn Rand's novel Atlas Shrugged, in which the protagonist is a bunch of businessmen who went on strike because the government was so stupid, and the antagonist was this big government that was behaving like a poorly done Soviet Union. And the ideology of these folks they have just been hammering away and hammering away and hammering, because I frankly don't think any of them have read enough American history to realize that the United States was not set up by Trotsky and Marx, and they have this idea that anything government does must necessarily be evil, and they miss the fact that government in a constitutionally limited democratic republic, government is us. And pardon my rant here, but I've had these people on the air, and they're, in fact, the week after next, we're going to have somebody on from one of the Ayn Rand groups who's going to be talking about how environmentalism is part of a communist plot.
Well, I think these people are just living in some sort of dream world. I mean, the communist plots all disappeared when the Soviet Union imploded. I don't know why they continue to believe these sorts of things. But, yeah, that's a good analysis, and I think that was part of the reason that the issue became much more polarized, is that the adherence of this point of view became much more prominent within the Republican Party, and the, quote, moderates became much, the Rockefeller Republicans. How many of your younger listeners have heard that phrase? The Rockefeller Republicans, who used to be very prominent in the party, have become marginalized. So that was
Jim.
Are you old enough to remember
the speech that Rockefeller gave before the 64 Republican convention?
Oh yes, I remember when he said, "This is still a democracy, ladies and gentlemen." So,
and you remember how the crowd reacted to him?
Oh yeah, especially when he smiled at them. When he smiled,
they shouted
at them, they went completely ballistic.
Yeah, they shouted him down.
Yeah.
And he said, "I'm getting death threats," and they were, and I mean, you know, he's like, you know, the yeah. I'm sorry, and I keep interrupting you here, but I.
No, that's what the conversation is. I remember those days.
Yeah.
I'm 48, so I was still a boy at that time, but I was heavy into politics even then. So that was part of it. Another is that, and this is you know, kind of contradicts the point of view that you hear from these hard-line ideologues. Is that the rise of special interest money and our corrosive campaign finance system has meant that large interests that have a narrow economic agenda have much louder voices in Washington, D.C. than ordinary people do. So you hear on the one hand the adherents of this Ayn Rand philosophy saying, you know, government can't do anything right. And then on the other hand, you have the special interests, you know, going back to D.C. asking for pork and favors and subsidies and so forth.
And
those two factors played a role in the declining.
And the result is a mess. I've got to stop you there. Jim, if you can hold on for just a second. We've got a break here that we've got to take. You're with the Tom Hartman Program, where democracy is still alive and well. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Jim DePesso of Republicans for Environmental Protection.
I have a question for the men out there. What do you think your odds are of developing prostate problems? 1 in 1,000? 1 in 300? Actually, my doctor told me they're 1 in 3. But you can help beat those odds with One A Day Men's Health Formula. One A Day Men's is a complete multivitamin with 21 nutrients plus lycopene, which Harvard studies have linked to prostate health. So now that you know your risk, help beat the odds. Take One A Day Men's Health, the multivitamin with more for your health.
Hey, Mom, are you ready for some good news? Tax rebate checks will be arriving over the next 3 weeks. Are you ready for some more? Sears will cash your rebate check free of charge with any purchase. And since you'll be in the neighborhood, why not start saving on back-to-school items? Right now, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LAI, Bonco, and Mud. In styles like low-rise, boot-cut, button-fly, straight, carpenter, and stretch. Just bring your tax rebate check to any Sears, because savings like these are too good to pass up. Sale ends August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back, and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide, and you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
I have one question. Why? This is the question that pops into my head whenever I flip through any of those slick catalogs hawking the latest in high-dollar, high-tech gizmos for yuppies. Why is so much of our society's brain power and research money being frittered away on frivolous crap? You want crap? Try house slippers with headlights. Let's hope that this person isn't trying to invent anything else. Or this, a $250 rapid-fire toaster that can pop out 130 slices of toast per hour right in your kitchen. If this thing appeals to you, let me be the first to tell you, you've got a toast problem, Buster, and it's time to spend some money for professional help, not for a 130-slice-an-hour toaster. Some of this crap is not just crap, but absurdly expensive crap, pitched to the pompous and over-pampered rich, including the $90,000 Audi A8, which has 65,000 electrodes to scan your fingertips so you can open its doors by waving your hand in front of it. It also has a computer that automatically tunes the radio to the driver's favorite station and sculpts the front seat to the contours of the
political process in Washington, D.C.
Right. And what's the hope here? Do you really believe that it's possible for you to influence the Republican Party? I mean, it seems like these guys actually, I mean, look at what they did to Olympia Snowe and Voinovich. Like they're going after people in their own party that they identify as enemies.
Well, that was the Club for Growth, and the Club for Growth is an example of this hard-edged ideological faction that believes in eating its young. And even Karl Rove, of all people, got on the phone with the head for the Club for Growth and said, your ads against Olympia Snowe were just stupid and counterproductive. What's wrong with you?
Right, but the guy told Karl Rove to back off, and he kept running them.
What's that? I'm sorry?
The guy ignored Karl Rove in that regard. I mean, he kept running. I forget the guy's name right off
well,
the top.
Well, Stephen Moore. Yeah, yeah.
Yes,
they're,
yeah.
And next year they're going to be running a campaign against Senator Arlen Specter in Pennsylvania, who's a moderate conservative, mainline Philadelphia conservative Republican, and they say, well, he's too liberal for them. Which
you know what Arlen Specter's major contribution to the United States was?
What's that?
When he was counsel to the House Committee on Assassinations,
mm-hmm.
when he was an attorney, he is the guy who came up with the single bullet theory about the bullet that paused in midair for 1.3 seconds after it had gone through John Kennedy, made a 90-degree turn, and went into John Connolly's leg.
Right, right. Well, I wasn't
just pardon the factoid there.
Yeah, no.
Anyway,
but anyway, it's an example of the type of behavior we're seeing from these really hardcore extremists, and that's what they are. Next year, they're also going to be going after Congressman Sherwood Bollert of upstate New York, who is the leader of the House Republicans on environmental issues, and they say he's too liberal and too green for them. So Congressman Bollert is going to have to fight off a challenge from these extremists at the Club for Growth. So that's
Jim,
very
are we seeing the Republican Party beginning to implode through these squabbles, or are we seeing a very strong, as you call a hard right or hard-edged group, actually seizing control here and maybe the end of what we used to know as the Republican Party?
Well, it could go either way. It really depends on the political context in the next several years. I mean, you could get to the point where the party goes so far in one direction that and becomes so extreme, it finally just turns off the vast majority of Americans and starts losing a lot of elections. On the other hand,
Jim Jeffords here.
Well, yeah, you could have the Jeffords effect. On the other hand, they could very well succeed. I mean, if the administration continues to ride high based on security and public safety issues, then you could very well see this faction succeed. But it really depends on what's going to happen in the broader global situation, the economy, and other political contexts to determine how this will turn out. So it's hard to say at this point.
Okay. We've got to call Jim in Louisville, Kentucky. But, Jim, we've got a break coming up in about 20 seconds here. So if you can just hold on over the – we've got about a three-minute break here at the bottom of the hour. And,
okay.
And we'll take your call and you can ask – Jim can ask Jim the question. We're talking with Jim DePasso, Communications Director of Rep America, over www.rep.org. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Hope to achieve real progress while corporations wield control over our government and many civic institutions? At ReclaimDemocracy.org, we believe revoking illegitimate corporate power is a prerequisite for making genuine progress on the issues that affect us all. If you'd like to help restore citizen authority over corporations, get involved. Visit us at ReclaimDemocracy.org or call 406-582-1224.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Environmentalists promise a bruising fight in next year's political campaigns. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Environmental groups say they'll shine a bright light on green issues during the upcoming campaigns for Congress and the White House. Dan Bacuna is with the League of Conservation Voters, an organization that tracks the environmental voting records of elected officials. He says his group plans to bring the issue home to voters in each congressional district.
we let people know that how their representatives are voting in Washington really affects the local park they take their kids to, how it, you know, either help clean up or help dirty the drinking water in their neighborhoods, or how clean air protections have been weakened in this past Congress and how that really affects asthma rates of their children. And I think that if you take an issue and you bring it to the local level and you talk about it in terms of health effects, economic security, energy security in this country, I think it can really have an impact on elections all over the place.
Vicuña says green issues could swing a number of seats in Congress if voters feel their children's health is being put at risk, and energy policy could be a hot issue if gas prices remain high and America becomes bogged down in the Middle East. The League of Conservation Voters offers a harsh assessment of the Bush administration, but Vicuña says it judges politicians by their performance, not their party.
The League of Conservation Voters is a nonpartisan organization. We are the political voice for the national environmental community. Each election cycle, we support candidates, regardless of party affiliation, who are protecting clean air, clean water, and open space in Congress. And we oppose those who are closely tied to corporate polluters and who are working to harm the environment.
Vicuña says his group plans to focus on hotly contested states during the 2004 presidential race. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Jim DePesso, the Communications Director of Republicans for Environmental Protection, in our chat room, which you can get to by going to TomHartmanShow.com and clicking on the chat links. Zenpickle of Zenpickle.com, I believe. Says, no, honestly, we need more Republicans like this guest. The environment is too big an issue to be claimed by one party. Because there's some folks in the chat room were being a little partisan, and I agree. And Jim, I'm really glad to hear your voice out there. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Jim in Louisville, Kentucky, has a question for Jim DePesso of REP.org. Jim in Kentucky, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
How are you today?
Great.
Very good. I'm wondering. The most dangerous man in America, Rush Limbaugh, he carries on a vacuous rant and dissertation every day about the environmental wackos. And I'm just wondering if the uneducated and ill-informed have been misled. And can a lot of the problems that we are experiencing now be contributed to Rush Limbaugh.
Hmm. Good question, Jim. Thank you for the call, and thanks for not just Rush Limbaugh, by the way. There's a whole echo chamber of other right-wing syncopants and Rush wannabes who go up and down the spectrum of time throughout the broadcast day that you will find on stations on right-wing radio stations all across the United States. Jim DePessa, what do you think? Is that the tail or the dog?
Well, that's a good point that Jim in Louisville raises, is that Rush Limbaugh at best is seriously misinformed about the science and other technical aspects of environmental issues, and I would no more listen to Rush Limbaugh for information on environmental issues than I would let him work on my teeth. So that is part of the problem, is that some of these issues can be very complex. And when you have entertainers like Rush Limbaugh taking them and oversimplifying them to build an audience and to toss red meat at their listeners, that creates serious misinformation that makes solving these problems that much more difficult.
Yeah, and they're certainly doing it, and they're saying, oh, we're just entertainers, you know, we don't have any. I mean, there's been all these books debunking Rush, you know, starting with Al Franken's Rush Limbaugh is a Big Fat Liar, and Charles Kelly wrote a book called something like the Rush Limbaugh Lies or something, and on they go. But, you know, it kind of rolls off his back as he says, well, you know, I'm not really here. You know, there's no obligation to tell the truth. And the reality is, I mean, you know, Fox News just won a lawsuit in Florida just last year where two reporters, Jane Aker and Steve Wilson, were fired for refusing to lie on the air about bovine growth hormone. And a jury of their peers, six members of a jury, concluded unanimously that they had been asked to lie, that the facts of the case were that they were telling the truth and that Fox wanted them to lie and that they were therefore unlawfully dismissed, that wasn't the grounds for dismissal. And a three-judge federal appeals court overturned that, two of the judges having been appointed by Reagan and Bush, and said that the FCC rule that says that news institutions and broadcast news, or what represents itself as news, must be truthful, is in fact only a guideline, not an actual binding law, and there is no law that says that the news actually has to be truthful. And Fox News issued a press release claiming this a vindication that they have the right to lie. So, you know, people listen and they think they're hearing the truth. And, you know, Rush calls himself America's truth detector and all these kinds of things. But the reality is that even, you know, fair and balanced, even CBS, ABC, and NBC, there is no guarantee of truth out there.
Well, that's right. I think it's the old line of caveat emptor, let the buyer beware. When you turn on the TV, and thankfully we don't have a television in this house, so we're not burdened by all of that. But when you turn on the TV or radio or read the newspapers, you got to read this stuff critically and skeptically, and not just swallow everything that's fed to you. You know what your caller mentioned, that brought up an old line that Mark Twain used to say many years ago: a lie can get halfway around the world before the truth has a chance to get its boots on.
Yeah, the problem with caveat emptor, you know, the old Latin phrase that goes back to times when communities were smaller and there were fewer people in the world, is that, in, for example, I live in a little town in Vermont. There's like 9,000 people in this town. And if somebody, say somebody's a bad contractor and they're ripping people off when they're doing construction work, word spreads. That guy won't be in business a year from now. If somebody's a bad dentist, people know. If you got an incompetent doctor in town, there's no place to hide. And so, yeah, let the buyer beware, but the reality is that in a small community, you've got to do a good job or you're gone. Whereas when you're dealing on a national stage or in a large community, you don't have the backup of the community to inform you. And it's possible for somebody committing fraud in a city the size of New York, or even in a city, you know, the size of Boston, or even the city the size of Burlington, Vermont, with 50 or 60,000 people, to do so and get away with it for a long, long time. And that's why I think that starting back in the 19th century, legislators and lawmakers in communities all across the United States, and then at the state level, and then ultimately at the federal level in the 20th century, started saying caveat emptor isn't enough. We actually have to have laws that say that you can't do certain things. You can't create certain harms. You can't lie to people. You can't defraud people. There must be certain consumer protections. And in that regard, there has to be certain environmental protections that you can't just, you know, say, well, you know, who cares about the environment, or you know, trust us, toxic sludge is good for you, like the toxic sludge industry. I mean, the title of the book by Stauber and where they're suggesting that this stuff is just fine, nothing to worry about. And these are the things that under the Republicans are under assault right now on the theory that this is big government, or it's paternalistic, or, you know, it's government is trying to take care of you. Do you really want people taking care of you? I mean, how do you respond to that, Jim?
Well, I think it's always looking for the right balance between having the laws we need to protect the public interest and to protect the resources that we need that market forces simply take no notice of and could destroy if they're not taken care of, and letting market forces hold sway in those areas where markets can do the best job. So I think we try not to be overly ideological about this. We're just interested in practical, common sense solutions. Depending on what the issue is, you need some regulation, you need some market forces. It really depends on the dynamics of the issue. We're just interested in what works and just being as practical as we can. So
Jim,
I think part of the problem is that we get so far into these ideological battles that we often lose sight of being practical and just focusing on what will work to solve the problem.
Yeah, although anything that we're doing ultimately has to have some grounding in ideology, otherwise we lose our balance, we lose track, we get off track, and we don't realize, you know, how to get back. I mean, there has to be a philosophical underpinning, I think, to any kind of practical behavior.
Well, that's true. And part of the values that we try to bring to the debate is that the environment is part of our global life support system, and we have an obligation and an ethical responsibility to take good care of it, so that future generations will be able to enjoy life and survive and prosper as we have.
Jim, we're talking with Jim DePesso, a communications director of Republicans for Environmental Protection, www.rep.org. And, Jim, we saw where a couple weeks ago, Joe Wilson, Ambassador Joe Wilson, who I believe is a Republican. I think last night on the Daily Show with Jon Stewart, he said he was a Republican. Former ambassador to several different African countries. You know, he wrote the op-ed piece in the New York Times saying that he actually investigated the uranium claim in Africa, came back, and reported to the administration that it was a lie. And it made its way into the State of the Union speech anyway. And now Robert Novak has published this article outing this guy's wife as a CIA agent, burning her, you know, in violation of federal law. This is one of three or four major attacks that this administration has taken on people who identify themselves as Republicans, but who have defied the administration. What kind of feedback or response or reaction are you and your organization getting from the RNC, from this White House, or have you been low enough on the radar screen that they haven't noticed you? I mean, are you engaging in any kind of battles with these people?
I think they know who we are. Gail Norton certainly knows who we are and doesn't generally appreciate what we're trying to accomplish, but we understand from third or fourth hand that our organization is on Karl Rove's fertilizer list.
Enemies list.
Right. So they know who we are, but I think also that we're still a little bit below the radar screen, and they probably don't perceive that we're that much of a threat to them. But we're going to keep at it. We're going to keep saying our truth and getting our message out there. And we're not going to let the opposition bother us.
How are you doing that, Jim?
Well, we do it by appearing on programs like this, by getting our opinion pieces into newspapers and other journals. We go and we talk to people. Like, for example, last week I went down to a class, a graduate studies class at the Evergreen State College down in Olympia, and talk to a class. And we'll talk to any audience that is receptive to our message, and maybe even some that are not so receptive to our message, to reacquaint people with the history of conservation and environmental protection in this country, to reacquaint Republicans with the traditional values that are consistent with protecting the environment, and to tell people that there are ways we can solve our environmental challenges that will not only protect the public health and our natural heritage, but will create economic opportunities and provide us with greater security in the world. So those are the messages that we just try to get out there.
Jim, do you ever see a day where the Republican Party becomes so toxic that you'll vote for a Democrat?
Oh, I generally don't tell people who I vote for, but it's safe to say that occasionally I do split my tickets.
Yeah, okay. Well, Jim, I appreciate your being with us. Jim DePesso of Republicans for Environmental Protection, www.rep.org. And, Jim, any final notes or cautions or suggestions you want to share with people? What can people do to actually make a change in the Republican Party?
Well, what people can do to make a change, number one, be careful about what you buy. Buying a car, for example, is the most environmentally impacting decision that you will make. And I'll put it this way. If you buy a hybrid electric vehicle and you never recycle your newspapers ever again, that's better than recycling and buying an SUV. It makes that much of a difference. Number two, I believe that caveat emptor does apply, and when you see stuff on TV and you hear it on the radio or you read about it in the papers or the magazines, look at it with a critical eye. Don't believe everything that the politicians and special interest groups and the lobbyists and spin doctors try to feed you. Look at things with a critical eye, because that's the basis of democracy. That the founding fathers wanted us to be a thoughtful, engaged citizens. Remember what Benjamin Franklin said, "A republic, ma'am, if you can keep it." It's up to us to keep it.
Right. Okay.
Well, very good, Tom.
You were going to say?
That's
one more there? Okay, great. Jim, thank you very much for being on the program. I appreciate it. I'm very glad that you could show up. www.rep.org. Check it out. Now with Bill Moyers, reports FDA tests only a dozen cans of tuna a year. Hey, Rama, how are you? For Mercury, our host for the next hour has arrived. Unfortunately, I don't have a second microphone cable in here, so I'll let you introduce yourself at the top of the hour. But here, this story, we hear these, you read these articles about how now the federal government is saying that if a woman is pregnant, she shouldn't eat tuna, or she should eat very, very little, and that mercury is a neurotoxin. It can cause not only birth defects and severe problems for fetuses, but also for adults and children. And, of course, there's this big movement to have people, getting their mercury amalgam fillings replaced with porcelain, and dentists are moving away from mercury. Everybody's moving away from mercury. In fact, here in Vermont, we just had a law passed that the manufacturers fought, but we won, that mercury-containing products had to be labeled, like light bulbs, like for fluorescent lights and things. The industry fought that. But now we discover that the EPA, this was released on Bill Moyers' show a week ago, that the EPA, in their testing of mercury, or testing of tuna fish, rather, looking for mercury, only tests about a dozen cans of mercury a year. And the influence of the tuna industry and the Food and Drug Administration, they say, may be putting Americans and their children at risk for mercury poisoning. The FDA tests only a dozen cans of albacore tuna for mercury a year and doesn't ask to review the tuna industry's own tests. A consumers group study recently showed that as many as 22 million cans of tuna could have mercury levels above the FDA's action level, which would make them subject to recall. Tuna, did you know that canned tuna is the third most popular item on grocery store shelves behind coffee and sugar? And it's a 45-pound child eating just 1 6-ounce can of white chunk albacore tuna per week risks ingesting almost four times more mercury than is considered safe. Why doesn't the FDA inspect this? Well, it says it doesn't want to scare consumers away. Back to caveat emptor. The administration is planning to exempt the Alaskan forest from the Road Act. This article in the New York Times by Jennifer Lee. The Bush administration sent out a proposal yesterday to exempt the Songhees National Forest in Alaska from the Roadless Area Conservation Rule, potentially helping to clear the way for 50 pending land sales in the forest. Now, see, they want to sell this land to loggers. They can't do it unless you can build roads to it. So they're changing the rules about roads. The proposal could open the Songhees, the nation's largest rainforest, to further logging. And on it goes. You're listening to Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be back in just a moment.
Create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find AMIBA online at amiba.net.
Hey, Mom, are you ready for some good news? Tax rebate checks will be arriving over the next 3 weeks. Are you ready for some more? Sears will cash your rebate check free of charge with any purchase. And since you'll be in the neighborhood, why not start saving on back-to-school items? Right now, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LAI, Bonco, and Mud. In styles like low-rise, boot-cut, button-fly, straight, carpenter, and stretch. Just bring your tax rebate check to any Sears, because savings like these are too good to pass up. Sale ends August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice.
I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Show. Well, let's move on to somebody who is evil but very bright. That would be Ari Fleischer at the briefing today.
The job of anybody who is the White House press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking and why he's thinking it. And that's what I do for a living.
Yeah, right. The job of the press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
When do I get to my Game Boy? Hey, it's time for lunch. I want to take a nap. How do you spell Putin? Let me see. Who's the president of Afghanistan?
You know he tried to kill my dad?
Oh, my God. There's Laura with my milk. Faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
All righty, then.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Shep in our chat room says if they say there's mercury in beer, he's going to be majorly upset. Shep, look out. That water comes from our lakes and streams that they make beer out of, and the mercury gets in the fish by raining down out of the sky into our lakes and streams from our oil and coal fired power plants. Brought to you by this administration's buddies in the oil and gas and coal industry and power industry, big power industry, and fighting as hard as they can with this thing called the Clear Skies Initiative to dirty our skies further with more and more mercury so it'll get into our water. So, yes, indeed, Chef, it will get into your beer. Email from Judy that I got here last week. Judy in Illinois, we had a caller who called in, a conservative caller, says, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. And these other people, they should be able to do the same. You know, we don't need welfare in this country, blah, 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 blah. And she says, there are people in this country who also worked hard all their lives, some even working and going to college at the same time, which he did not. Many professionals working hard for their degree on their own. They have a college degree but are still unemployed and having to take low-wage jobs. Some have lost their health and can no longer work or told they're too old. It's not a work hard and pull yourself up by your bootstraps country anymore for men, and it never has been for women. And I would add, Judy, that it never has been fully. It wasn't for a long time at all, and in recent years it still is not fully for people of color. And she goes on to say, American workers are being made into slaves and are disposable citizens. Too many of our better-off citizens are heartless and uncaring. She signs a Judy, a woman in need of bootstraps. These are the issues of our day, folks. This is the really serious stuff that we're coming up against, is what is the role of government in a society? Is government us? If we were a small community, how would we get together and say, this is how we're going to take care of ourselves? You know, if there was just a couple of dozen of us on an island or something, how would we do it? What would we create? And I think FDR had a heck of a lot better answer for it than Ronald Reagan. Rama Schneider's coming up next for the last hour of the Tom Hartman Program. I hope you'll welcome him. Have a great time. I'll see you a week from Monday. Yeah, although we'll be back with the show all next week. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
But it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Without citing any real evidence, the U.S. Civil Administrator for Iraq says they are closing in on Saddam Hussein. Paul Bremer made his claims earlier today on NBC's Today Show.
Well, I think the noose is certainly tightening now because we have quite a number of the top people who are around him now are either dead or in our custody. His support circle has to be getting tighter around him.
Bremer admitted more U.S. troops will likely be killed in revenge for the deaths of Saddam Hussein's two sons earlier this week, but he said he expects the violence to diminish in the long run. No word, though, on just how long that run may be. Officials in Cairo say Iran has offered to hand over several suspected Egyptian militants. The Iranian government claims it's detaining Egyptian members of the Al-Qaeda network and is now ready to extradite some of them. Middle East correspondent Roxana Saberi has more.
An Egyptian security official says Iran has offered to transfer the men who are suspected of belonging to Islamic Jihad. The extremist group is led by al-Qaeda's second-ranking man, Ayman al-Zawahiri. The official who spoke to reporters on condition of anonymity did not name the militants or say how many might be returned. Iran's foreign minister apparently made the offer last month, but Cairo has not yet officially responded, and there's been no official comment from Tehran. The Iranian government has only confirmed it is holding some high-ranking and less important members of al-Qaeda. Roxana Saberi, Tehran.
Perhaps without recognizing the irony with regards his own apparently checkered military past, President Bush today toured the Korean War Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. with a National Park Service ranger. Sunday marks the 50th anniversary of the armistice that ended the conflict. The president said he came, quote, to honor those who served.
Our nation is to be eternally grateful for the men and women who serve today as we are for those who have served in the past.
The memorial itself features 19 stainless steel statues depicting U.S. troops during the war. It also includes a long black granite wall etched with the images of 2,500 faces of soldiers. Today was the president's first visit to the memorial.
Hey, watch it!
Down in front! Hey, we made it!
Yeah.
4 hours back-to-back Godzilla movies!
Wait!
Sorry. Did you see that cute girl on the end as we came in?
Oh, who could miss her?
So ask her out.
What?
Yeah. Excuse me. My friend here wants to know if the girl on the aisle will go out with her. Pass it down.
Ask the girl over there if she wants to meet this loner. Pass it down.
Hey, that dude over there wants to meet the girl next to you when the flick's over. Usually, miss, there's a guy down there who wants to know if you're an organ and tissue donor.
Yes, of course.
Are you an organ and tissue donor? It's a simple but important question. Talk to your family today. Make sure they know your decision so there'll be no question later.
Hey, buddy. She said yeah. Oh, hey, buddy. Me too.
What? Share your life. Share your decision. Call 1-800-355-SHARE for a free brochure. 1-800-355-SHARE. A message from the Advertising Council and the Coalition on Donation.
The boom in home sales may be leveling out now this month. The National Association of Realtors has released a report today showing sales of existing homes was down a touch, 0.3% for the month of June. Analysts had been forecasting sales of pre-owned homes at a rate of about 6 million, but home sales edged just under that rate, coming in at 5.83 million. Meanwhile, new home sales surged 4.7% to an all-time high. Analysts say the unusually low interest rates have helped to bring home buyers back into the market in droves.
Is downing Metamucil for regularity getting you down?
It's too hard to take.
But you must.
It's thick and icky, gloppy and gritty. I cannot.
Next time, try FiberCon. It's a better way to stay regular because just two caplets and a refreshing glass of water is all you need to get the same results as Metamucil powder.
FiberCon! Oh, FiberCon! You're refreshingly easier to take.
Use only as directed.
Embattled California Governor Gray Davis now has only 76 days to persuade California voters not to kick him out of office. Correspondent Steve Fredericks tells us governor says he's ready for the fight.
Lieutenant Governor Cruz Bustamante announced Thursday that October the 7th is the date an election will be held to attempt to recall Governor Gray Davis. Bustamante and other Davis supporters say the campaign against the recall will be hard fought.
Just because you're mad at somebody doesn't mean you spend $35 million to oust somebody.
California constitutional expert Leo McElroy predicts the results of the recall election could end up in the courts.
We're probably going to see lawsuits on this for the next several years.
There are holes that you could drive a truck through here.
If Davis is retained in office, the state would have to repay him what he spent to fight the effort to oust him. In Sacramento, I'm Steve Fredericks.
And I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Sex and the single driver. No, it's not the latest XXX film or a video on golf swings. And you'll never guess its producer, director. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it.
I'm Bobby Likas on the street, talking to people who love their cars. Excuse me, sir, you're putting a car cover on your vehicle?
You bet. I protect my car outside from the weather with a car cover, and from dings and dust when it's inside the garage.
Is it easy to put on?
Easy to put on and take off.
What's it made of?
Block It Fabric by Kimberly Clark. Great protection at a great value.
Take it from people who love their cars. Buy a car cover made from Block It Fabric by Kimberly Clark.
Sex and the single driver is a favorite feature of insurance companies. And if you're a middle-aged, married female, you're the star of this show. Yes, statistics show younger drivers are involved in more fatalities than mature adults. And singles have less safe driving records than those in wedding bliss. And here's the clincher, gentlemen. Males are deadlier drivers than females. In fact, a National Safety Council survey found fatal accident rates were 63% higher for men. So ladies, start your engines and enjoy the spotlight. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Covers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Well, not really. I'm a corporate liar who's very corrupt. I'm Rama Schneider, sitting in for Tom Hartman, speaking to you on the IE America Radio Network on terrestrial radio stations from New Mexico to Alabama, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite covering North and Central America from Alaska to the equator, and streaming audio on the internet with listeners from Europe to Asia, this being the Tom Hartman radio program. And, you know, we kind of going to have a open microphone here. I got a list of things that I want to go through with everybody, you know, being, I don't know, as ever present as I am. And if you want to join in the online conversation, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Just a quick word of caution here. As I mentioned last time I filled in for Tom, you can call me Rama the radio, the phone Nazi, rather, because I don't know if you do any one of a zillion arbitrary things. I'll just hang up on you, you know. So, you know, if you want to call up, feel free to. I love having people join in, and generally, I prefer it when people don't tell me how wrong I am, but, you know, if you insist on doing it, that's okay. There also is a chat room that you can join into, and they've always got roaring conversations going in there. All you do is go to TomHartman.com and follow the links to the Tom Hartman Show, and there they'll have a link to the chat room. And if you click it all and hit on the right links there, you'll be in the chat room with 1800, Brain Shrub, Hypno, Roy 46, Kahuna 2MKT, 2MKT. I know, how do you pronounce that, Kahuna? There's Richie GB, Shep GC 2003, Son of a Drajinsky. I got to be careful saying that. You know, they got Z March Hair, Zen Pickles in there, all sorts of good folks in there. Somebody also was making mention they're still showing pictures of the dead Hussein brothers. I know. You know what they're doing with those pictures now, don't you, folks? Is every time we go, you know, yeah, but anyway, getting back to the lies that led us to war with Iraq, up on the screen go those pictures of the dead Hussein brothers. And it's not like they're trying to convince us they're dead. We are. I mean, look, I accept they're dead. I don't think it's that big of a deal as far as our war in Iraq goes, but I
I'm willing to state unequivocally that the Hussein brothers are both dead. They're trying to condition us. In other words, you know, look, if every time you reach for a cookie, your mother reached out with a yardstick and smacked you on your head after about the 10th or 12th cookie, or if you're like me, after 20 or 30 cookies, you'd finally figure out that, no, you shouldn't reach out for the cookies. Well, that's what they're trying to do with us. They're trying to condition us. Stop looking at Uncle George. Next time you say that, we're going to show four pictures of dead Hussein brothers, and we'll even make up a few to throw in there. So that's why they're doing. That's why they're doing it. They just don't. Anytime that we mention anything about reality or truth or issues of importance, they're going to throw those pictures up. And I'm sorry, folks, until November 2004, when we finally vote these cretins out of office, we're going to have to look at those pictures over and over and over. Unless, of course, you watch Fox News, in which case they probably permanently have them, like, on one part of the screen. You know, they divide the screens up into little windows now. So, anyway, that's why they keep showing the pictures. It's not that anybody needs to see those ugly, gross, deformed faces, and that was before the battle. It's just they want to make us uncomfortable anytime we mention anything about, by the way, lying about going to war with Iraq, up will go those pictures. I guarantee you. It's going to go on and on, so don't expect it to go very far with that. Okay. I am going to, by the way, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to rag on everybody out there, every one of you. And you notice I'm saying every one of you, and no, I'm not pointing back at myself with this. As a matter of fact, when I'm pointing my finger at you, I'm pointing the whole hand, thumb and all, so nothing's pointing. I'm pure as the driven snow here, folks. I just want you to know. I mean, when I say something, there's one of three possibilities. Either I'm absolutely correct, or I'm mistaken unintentionally, or I'm just lying to you. Now, if I'm absolutely correct, that's great. That just goes to show how wonderful I am and how perfect. If I'm mistaken, well, it's got to be somebody else's fault, maybe a teacher's or somebody. I mean, it's not my fault if I accidentally was mistaken. And if I lie to you, I mean, don't blame me. You look, you're the ones that believe me when I lie. Don't blame me for this, you know. So, I'm pure as the driven snow on this, no matter how we look at it. It's not my fault. And you can ask me directly. You can say, President Rama, do you take responsibility for the words you utter to the population of the United States of America? And I'll say, yes, I'll tell you what I do. I take responsibility for my chickens. I take responsibilities for my dogs and my cats. And I take responsibility for my motorcycle. Yes, that's what I take responsibility for. And I don't care how many times you ask me. I don't care how many times you ask me if I'm going to take responsibilities for my words. I'm going to tell you I'll take responsibility for everything else in the world. But my words are not my fault. Get off my case. If this weren't radio, I'd be flashing pictures of dead ugly people at you. All right? So anyway, this is what I want to rag on you about. And this comes from a CNN.com story. I mean, it's in other places. It's from a handful of days ago. Actually, July 20th. That's not, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, okay, a handful of days. I was right. Okay, I was right that time. Okay, just goes to prove how perfect I am. And the headline of the story is Bush's approval rating sags. Mm-hmm. Gee, that's too bad. Well, you know, and I looked at this, first thing I thought was, gee, my disapproval of Bush could not sag any lower. I mean, literally, it can't. And it talks about, how many people approve, disapprove of Bush. All of that is immaterial. What I got, and I want to get down to the very last paragraph of this story. Now, I want you all, sit down, pay attention, class, shut up! Thank you. Okay, now, listen up. This is the last paragraph I'm quoting from the CNN.com story. But a majority of those polled, 66%, said Bush is very or somewhat likely to win the election regardless of how they cast their vote. You got that now? 66%. Now, this is where his approval rating is down around, 55% or something like that. Half in the poll, 50%, said it was likely they would support Bush's reelection. Almost that many, 46%, said it was unlikely. You add in a plus or minus on that, and that's a 50-50 split. Despite that 50-50 split, two-thirds of you people are sitting now. That's right, you people. You people, not me. Uh-uh, not me, pure as the driven snow. Two-thirds of you people are sitting out there figuring, oh, well, my vote doesn't matter. I won't turn out and vote. Now, if you don't believe me that that's an issue and that's how things are going to go, you need to go, and if you have Internet access, this is easy. You just go to Google or Yahoo search, wherever it is that you like to do your search, and look for things like election participation of registered voters. And look how few people have been taking part in our election process in the last handful of years. It was under 50% for 2002. Just that, and that's on a nationwide level. Just a tad over 50% for the year 2000. We were supposedly selecting the leader of the free world. I mean, well, little did we know what we were really in for, but, you know, look, but a little over 50% of the people voting for the President of the United States of America. Excuse me? Hello? Knock, knock, knock. Anybody home in that hollow head of ours? All right, I included myself there just to be a little self-effacing, you know. It makes me be like one of you guys, you know. If I don't have a carrier or something that I, an aircraft carrier, I can go out and land on. So, you know, in order to be like one of you, I'll be self-effacing and pretend I'm not absolutely perfect. And 66%. Now, here's what's going to happen. And this is true. What's going to happen, people are going to sit there and say, my vote doesn't count. George Bush is just going to get elected anyway, so I'm not going to go vote. And we'll end up with about 45% of the registered voters. Now, I'm not even going to try to get into the percentages of eligible voters, because that's horrendous. The number of people that register out of who's eligible is like 60 or 70%, something like that. So it may even be lower at this point. So you're going to have all these people are going to sit there and say, it's my vote doesn't count. Don't count. No, they're just going to steal the election anyway. No, it doesn't matter. I mean, even if we win, look, Florida. Where was that gentleman who Tom was talking about the other day from Georgia? Max Cleland, isn't that from Georgia? You know, you look at some of these elections, Minnesota. You know, let's get some more diebald voting systems in, huh? That's the Republican National Committee line. So, yeah, that's job. If you really believe in the future of the United States of America, in the future of the world, the whole planet Earth, if you believe in the future of your children, or maybe it's your brother's kids, or your sister's kids, or your friend's kids, if you believe in the future for any reason at all, I don't care what it is, you have to A, say yes, George Bush will not get elected because I'm going to go out and vote for a better alternative. And my friends, my acquaintances, my coworkers, those people, my family, those people around me, are not going to be let off the hook when it comes to voting. It's not going to be, oh, I'm so busy, I've got to do the laundry, and I've got to wash the car, and I wanted to go golfing, and, hey, I've got another six-pack of beer to drink. You know, none of these people can get off the hook. We have to, and when I say we, as individuals, we literally, and if I sound like I'm lecturing, I am, because when I read things like 66% of the people responding when only 50% say they'd vote to reelect him, but two-thirds are saying that he's going to win anyway. We, as a group, as individuals, have to walk out there and do something to get other people
fired up enough to walk to the polls and check that stupid box on the ballot. Okay, we're going to take a break for some important commercial information, and then when we come back, I kind of want to put an exclamation mark on some electronic voting news.
Mom, see you later.
Jason? Who else is going to the concert with you?
Anna and Kyle.
So you'll be home?
At 11.
Good. Make sure to call me if anything comes up, okay?
You know I never forget.
I know you don't. Now, about that music.
Yeah, isn't it awesome?
Well,
let your kids be who they are, but know what they're doing. Talk, know, ask. Parents, the anti-drug. For more information, call 1-800-788-2800. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Hi, Tom Baudet from Motel 6. Dog owners will be happy to know whether your best friend is a purebred show dog or the lovably mixed-up product of a neighborhood indiscretion. They're equally welcome at Motel 6. No judgments here. So put the old Cocker Chow Labrador mix in the back seat and hit the road. But first call 1-800-4-MOTEL-6 or visit motel6.com. I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light on for you. And Accor Hotel.
Hey, Mom, are you ready for some good news? Tax rebate checks will be arriving over the next 3 weeks. Are you ready for some more? Sears will cash your rebate check free of charge with any purchase. And since you'll be in the neighborhood, why not start saving on back-to-school items? Right now, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bonco, and Mud. In styles like low-rise, boot-cut, button-fly, straight, carpenter, and stretch. Just bring your tax rebate check to any Sears, because savings like these are too good to pass up. Sale ends August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
You know, you ought to check your credit report.
But I just don't have time.
I have to clean out the garage.
And take the kids to the doctor.
And balance my checkbook.
And take the dog to the vet.
And mow the lawn.
And do the grocery shop. And come back.
Stop. If you haven't checked your credit report, there's a fast, easy solution. Log on to freecreditreport.com and we'll show you how to find out online what's in your credit report. And get 30 days of our credit check monitoring service free. So don't say,
I'm just too busy.
Log on to freecreditreport.com today.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
The chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued.
Two of
by
them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Mike Malloy is rational, and you know, I mean, whatever.
You want it's me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you
it's
hate me?
True.
You
why
hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof, liberal?
Goof?
Yeah. I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, welcome back to the program. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman. And some people over there in the chat room think that we need to go back and clean up a few wars from the 20th century. Vietnam and the Spanish-American War have popped up, and there's probably some others. Did we ever really deal with those Barbary pirates in a viable manner? I'm not sure. So, and of course, those darned Indians are still in the U.S. too. You know, how dare those non-Americans live in our country? Oh, wait a minute, they were here first, huh? So silly of me. Okay, we're gonna get to voting machines in a minute here, because I know you guys, you and Tom have talked about this issue before, but I just want to put things in a different perspective. I think that'll help. But I'm going to do that after the bottom half of the hour. What I want to do here real quick is let me see. Who is this from? Knight Ritter's story from July 17th. The senior CIA officials told a closed Senate Intelligence Committee hearing on Wednesday, this would have been going back to the 17th, that before Bush gave the speech, they discussed the reliability of intelligence with Iraq's alleged attempts to buy uranium in Africa with National Security Council aide Robert Joseph, according to two senior U.S. officials. Joseph, a top aide to Bush National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice, coordinates policies to prevent the spread of nuclear weapons. Now, WashingtonPost.com story from Wednesday, July 23rd. Officials made the disclosure hours after they were alerted by the CIA to the existence of a memo sent to Bush's Deputy National Security Advisor, Stephen J. Hadley. And this memo was regarding the unreliability of any information on Nigerian uranium. So far we have a top aide to Condoleezza Rice by the name of Mr. Joseph. What was his first name? I already lost Robert Joseph. And then we also have Stephen J. Hadley, who is Bush's deputy national security advisor. He got an email from the CIA saying no, 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 no. And Hadley also received a phone call, according to the same article, from CIA Director George J. Tenet before the president's October 7th, 2002 speech, asking that the Africa allegation be removed. So there's Hadley. So, you know. Now, another email was sent to Hadley, but the second memo also, according to WashingtonPost.com, was dated October 6th and sent to Hadley and oil tanker Condi Rice. So, here's what we have on this. Think about this for a moment. We have a senior advisor to Condoleezza Rice, a top Condoleezza Rice advisor, who was bargaining with CIA officials as to how they could possibly squeeze the African uranium claim into the speech. Well, I know. We'll blame it on somebody else. Huh. Isn't that what I was doing earlier? What a coincidence. See, I'm not the only twerp around here. Okay, so we have Robert Joseph, top aide to Condoleezza Rice. We have George W. Bush's Deputy National Security Advisor, Stephen J. Hadley. He certainly knew about this irrational claim regarding uranium in Africa. He got an email from the CIA, and not only an email, he got a direct phone call from George J. Tenet, who, incidentally, I mean, ever since he tried ineffectively to fall on his own sword on this one, has lost any sign of respect I'd have for him. We also have another memo sent from the CIA dealing with saying that the African uranium claim was bogus, sent to both Hadley and Rice. So we have Bush's National Security Advisor, and I know this is getting repetitious, but we have Bush's National Security Advisor, we have Bush's Deputy National Security Advisor, and we have a top aide to Bush's National Security Advisor, who we know, not, and when I say no, let me say no, underline, bold face, big print, you know, if I was doing HTML code, it'd be H1. We know that these three people all knew it. Now, they get up there and they try to tell us that despite the fact that these three people are in and out of the Oval Office all the time, Bush didn't know. He just didn't know. Sorry, it's not my fault. We'll be back.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller.
The U.S.'s expansion of so-called free trade agreements continued yesterday in Congress. Despite opposition from organized labor groups who blame free trade agreements like NAFTA for the millions of manufacturing jobs which have fled overseas, the House approved trade bills with Chile and Singapore. If enacted, the pair of bills will slash tariffs, grant corporations in signatory nations the right to sue governments, and will give biotech, pharmaceutical, and other companies greater power to enforce patent protections overseas. The legislation now heads to the Senate, where it is likely to pass.
A Teamster fired for drinking a Pepsi while working for Coke has his job back. Rick Bronson drove a delivery truck for Coca-Cola for 12 years until he was fired last month after being spotted sipping Pepsi in the back room of the Sylmar, California distribution warehouse. The Teamsters immediately challenged Bronson's termination, noting it may have been motivated by Bronson's union organizing activities. Bowing to the pressure and bad publicity, Coca-Cola has now reinstated Bronson with full back pay.
A U.S. retail chain with hundreds of stores in 14 states is under fire for its ties to sweatshop labor in the foreign dictatorship of Burma. Activists with Unite and Burma's Federation of Trade Unions launched a campaign this month targeting Fred's Incorporated, saying the retailer fills its stores with clothes produced in Burma, in turn sending tax money to one of the world's most repressive regimes. Human rights groups have long detailed the Burmese dictatorship's human rights abuses, including slave labor, rape, and the conscription of child soldiers. U.S. Representative Tom Lantos recently called on Congress to pass legislation banning all imports from Burma until human rights are respected.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Shake it up. Shake it up. Shake it up.
All right. Shaking you up and speaking to you on the IE America Radio Network on terrestrial radio stations from New Mexico to Alabama, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite covering North and Central America from Alaska to the equator. And streaming audio on the Internet with listeners from Europe to Asia. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program. And, well, unfortunately for all of you, Tom's not here, but I, Rama Schneider, I am the Rama Man. And, well, you got me, man. Look, I'm pure as the driven snow today. I've decided I do not. I have been told by Republicans, you know, remember when Bill Clinton making up all that stuff. I didn't have sex with that woman. Okay. If you remember all that, and Republicans were saying, what are we going to tell all our kids? When they look at the president, they go, well, he lied. Well, okay. So I'm taking my cue from that, too. If George Bush can do it, I can do it. I don't have to take responsibility for anything anymore, period. That's it. If I'm wrong, that's somebody else's fault. If you let me lie to you, hey, that's your fault. And if I'm telling the truth and I'm accurate, guess what? It just proves how good I really am. So anyway, our liberty depends on the freedom of the press, and that cannot be limited without being lost. Thomas Jefferson in a letter to James Curie, January 28th, 1786. I wonder, is that any relation? No, it couldn't be. Curie of the Adam Curie type fame from around 1900. She was our, both of them actually. They were Europeans, so probably no connection there. Anyway, I digress. I had to stuff my face with... You know, speaking of digressing here, the chat room folks, you ought to go check it out. I think it's a bunch of potheads in there, you know, trying to pretend they're not, because they all seem to have a depth of knowledge as to the effects of marijuana on a body. So, I, you know, as long as, you know, they're sitting there saying, well, I don't smoke pot, but boy, I do know it makes you forget forgetful and drive 5 miles an hour and eat pounds of ice cream. Come on now, George. How do you know that? All right. I was talking to my friend Joe Repub. And the Repubs, they're a great couple that I know. They live down the street from me. And actually, it gets kind of confusing if I go over to their house. I say, hey, Joe! And they both answer. The husband goes, what? And the wife goes, what? It's because she's Josephine. He's Joseph. But I was over there talking to Joe Repub. And he manages the a good portion of the family finances. And but he doesn't like his wife Josephine to know necessarily how much money he's spending. He kind of likes to fudge things, you know. So of course he's got to keep a check register, because when he writes checks, and you got to go through and balance out your checking account. And so what he does, he keeps two check registers. The sly little devil. There's one that has the real numbers on it that his wife never sees, and that's the one that he actually balances up to make sure it, you know, agrees with the bank. Excuse me. And then he's got the other. That's the one his wife sees, and he kind of just fills that in with whatever figures are going to keep her happy, okay? And he's had some pretty wild variations between the two over the years. I mean, he lets me in on it because I promised I wouldn't tell him. So, incidentally, this is just between you and I, folks, okay? I was laughing about this the other day with him, and I was asking him, you know, Joe, what do you do? He goes, it works like a charm. He says, you know, look, I have this one book where I keep all the figures, and, you know, I tally it up with the bank, and it always agrees. I know how much is really there. And then I have the other book I showed her. She wants to know, how much money have you been spending? And I show her. She goes, oh, you're being really fiscally prudent. Joe, I'm so proud of you. And their marriage is really, really does great on that. And it occurred to me. You know, it occurred to me, this whole Diebold software, Diebold, you know, they're the people, if you go to scoop.co.nz, they're the ones that these folks at Scoop on the internet did this great story, actually a couple of stories about exposing some of the problems in the software. And this reminded me of it, because to break down the worst part of the software, the Diebold system software, as it was explained by Scoop, is you would have the precincts would, over the internet, of course, report in their figures to a central figure gathering location. And that's where things would get kind of screwy, because, and I'm going to try to figure out how to put this in non-computerese, and if I slip into computerese, I apologize. I've got too much experience with the darn thing. So what I'm going to do, instead of computers, I'm going to talk about stacks of paper, okay? Each precinct in a state, let's just take Georgia. Why not? I don't know why that pops in my brain, but let's take Georgia. Each precinct in Georgia takes a piece of paper and writes down the totals. How many voted for candidate A? How many voted for candidate B? And they take it and somebody runs it up to wherever the central gathering point is. Now, of course, this is really done electronically, but let's have them carry it as a piece of paper. And they hand it to the folks at the central gathering location. And these folks at central gathering, they take the piece of paper and they put it in a big stack that has all the papers that come in from all the precincts. Now, And so far, so good, of course, because the precinct keeps a copy of what they sent to Central Gathering. So if there's any disagreement between what's in the stack at Central Gathering and what's on the piece of paper back at the precinct, that's pretty obvious, you know? I mean, you just look, you say, oh, this doesn't agree with that. So then what they do to add a little protection, apparently, in this Diebold software, they have somebody take these pieces of paper, and they go over to a copying machine. And, of course, now, remember, this is being done electronically. I'm describing it somewhat more manually here. But they take the precinct reports, the individual ones, they go over to a copy machine, and they make two copies of each precinct report. So they're going to make two more stacks. You're going to have stack A, which was the original reports from the precinct. You're going to have stack B, which is one of the new stacks, and stack C. Now, stack C you can kind of forget about. We're going to put that just in case they lose everything else, they have an extra stack to go back to. So that gets boxed up, taped up, put off in the corner to gather dust for 30 years or so. Now, what they do to 10, now, of course, you got all these reports from the precincts. You got two stacks, stack A, which is the original reports from the precinct, stack B, which is a copy of the original reports from the precinct. Now, in order to figure out who won the whole state election there in Georgia, what they got to do now, they got to go through a stack and add everything up, right? Simple enough, no problem. So what they do, they go through stack B, which is a copy of the original precinct reports. And they go through and they add up all the figures in stack B and come out with the final number. And somebody goes, well, you better spot check it, make sure that things didn't come out screwy. So they say, well, yeah, you're right. We better check, double check our figures. So here's where they do something really, really interesting. They go back to stack A to make sure stack A agrees with the precincts. You got that, okay? They don't go back to stack B to see if what they added up agrees with the precincts. This is important distinction, folks, and this is why we've got to be very, very careful. These folks go in the Diebold software systems, according to how Scoop described it, and they really investigated it quite well. I haven't seen this refuted. They go back to stack A to see if stack A agrees with the precinct reports. Sounds good, because stack B is just a copy of stack A. Only problem being, let's say I happen to be doing the copying and I decide I like candidate B more than I like candidate A. So, hey, here's a precinct. I'll subtract 50 from candidate A and add 50 to candidate B here. There, that goes into stack B. And so as I go through, I want to build up the numbers for candidate B. All I do, I change all the numbers in stack B. I don't have to deal with stack A. We're not going to add that up. We're going to add up stack B. So I can come up with a totally bogus number off of stack B, and I'm going to double check that number with spot checks from stack A. That's how the Diebold system worked as far as the Scoop story was able to determine. And they looked into this very, very deeply. That's why it is so pernicious. Okay. Now, I want you to keep that in mind for a moment here because, all right, you know, we like to trust people. We really do. And I understand. I mean, look, face it, this world, if you think it's bad now, it'd be a heck of a lot worse if we just basically threw all trust out the window. I mean, maybe we want to throw some people out the window. I don't know. But that's anyway. Here's a couple of stories I got off CNN.com. And no, I don't always go to CNN.com. They just happen to hit some right on the note here for me. Microsoft admits another critical flaw. Microsoft acknowledged mañana a critical vulnerability Wednesday in nearly all versions of its flagship Windows operating system, mañana. And it's not really important what is, well, I guess what's important if you might want to double check to see if there's a critical update for your Microsoft Windows operating system. If you have it, I would suggest that. But in the meantime, for the purpose of what I want to get to here, it's not important. It's just Microsoft acknowledges a critical vulnerability, which is good, and I'm glad they do. And and they do post their updates rather quickly. You know, they learn very much from the Linux community on that. And there was another story on CNN from Kearney, Nebraska. Some customers of a Kearney bank lost access to their debit card accounts after a Malaysian counterfeit ring hacked the bank's computer system and attacked its Visa check card program.
And they didn't even do it with big amounts. And this has some bearing here. According to a report in the Kearney Hub, over the weekend, the Malaysian crime ring stole debit card numbers and made $13.99 transactions on Platte Valley bank accounts, said the bank president, Mark Sutko. And then it went on. The bank did take immediate corrective action. Okay? And I'm not trying to, believe me, I'm not trying to lay anything on Microsoft or the bank on this one, because they dealt with the issue up front and as quickly as they could. What this proves, though, is, first of all, there is no such thing as a perfectly safe computer operating system. Anybody out there, if you don't, forget about any complex terms. Let me tell you, when you turn on your computer, it's not 100% protected. It is not. I don't care if you're running Linux. I don't care if you're running Windows. I don't care if you got a Mac. I don't care if you're on some big Unix mainframe. I don't care. If anybody, you or anybody from the Internet, can possibly access the computer, there is somewhere buried in millions of lines of computer code, somewhere is a bug that will allow somebody onto that computer. That's why people like Microsoft and the various Linux distributors and Mac and all these others post online updates, because they know the stuff is there. As fast as they find out about it, they go ahead and fix it. Now, the second thing I want to get to here is the banks. The banks. If you don't think a bank spends a lot of time, effort, and money on security, then you're probably George W. Bush. Because the truth is, banks spend a lot of time and effort and money on security. Otherwise, there is no bank in the world, or at least in the U.S. anyway, I'll limit myself here for the sake of, I don't know why not. There is no bank in the U.S. that's going to stay in business nowadays with people's expectations of being able to do online banking. No bank's going to stay in business, literally, if they have an insecure computing system. If somebody can regularly, you know, like every day, you know, hey, somebody's back in my bank account again, you know, I did have $34,000 there. Yeah, no, that's another story. So, by the way, where is my $34,000, folks? But so you have the plain truth of the software. Software by its very nature, and the fact that it is so complex. And if you look at some of these massive commercial programs that are written, I mean, you're dealing with millions of lines of code. It's inherently has problems, and all you have to do is know where the major problems are. What better way to know where the major problems are? Write the software yourself. I know this. I write software, not for a living, thank God. Probably a lot of other people say that too, but I write software. I've programmed in various computer languages, so I know what of I speak here. When they want to ship us over to something like this Diebold voting system or whoever else, and I don't mean just to harp on Diebold. I really don't. I mean to harp on any one of them. What they are doing, they are telling us to go to something that has is inherently insecure, and you're not going to be able to make it secure because, A, either some outsider will find a vulnerability to exploit, and just wait till you have somebody crash a whole election someday, like in California or something. You never know what Gray Davis will do in desperation, right? Or, and this is what probably would happen, because, you know, when we talk about getting up to federal government, you're talking about very, very serious business. Somebody's going to write the program, purposely leaving what's called a back door, meaning some secret way to go in and manipulate the software to change the results of an election. It's not difficult to do. It's very, very easy, and it happens all the time. This is why people have to be so suspicious of especially proprietary coding. This is by proprietary, I mean, this is code they won't let you see because we own it. You know, even though with stuff that you can look at, and if you do it open source like Linux does, you have all these crazy people like me that really basically have too much time on our hands that don't mind pouring over line after line of stupid computerese code. And at least then they can point out problems, but what they can't point out is when somebody deliberately inserts something in there that's going to give a backdoor way into it. So we want to be very, very careful. And if you think that electronic voting is really wonderful, you remember these voting systems tend to run on Windows. Go out and check around and see how many vital security updates that Microsoft has had to put out to the public. It's an ongoing list, and it's not going to stop, and it's not because Microsoft is a bad company, and it's not because they have a bad operating system. It's the nature of the beast. It happens with the other operating systems, too. I know I've downloaded enough patches for Linux stuff, and I know it happens with the Macs, and I know it happens with the business Unix computers. So what we don't want to do is end up trusting ourselves to this electronic that we cannot turn around and look and see. It's dangerous. There is nothing safer than a piece of paper with a check on it, because that's a physical piece of paper that somebody has to be able to look at. Okay, we will be right back. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
You check the batteries in your smoke detector and the air in your tires to protect your family. But how about your credit report? Experts recommend you check it regularly, too. And FreeCreditReport.com makes it easy. Log on today, and we'll show you how to find out online what's in your credit report. A surprise in your credit report could cause you to be turned down for a loan or a credit card. See your credit report online instantly. Make sure you get the credit you deserve with FreeCreditReport.com.
Hey, Mom, are you ready for some good news? Tax rebate checks will be arriving over the next 3 weeks. Are you ready for some more? Sears will cash your rebate check free of charge with any purchase. And since you'll be in the neighborhood, why not start saving on back-to-school items? Right now, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bonco, and Mud. In styles like low-rise, boot-cut, button-fly, straight, carpenter, and stretch. Just bring your tax rebate check to any Sears, because savings like these are too good to pass up. Sale ends August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back, and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide, and you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Show. According to Abbas, immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, "God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody, what do we do with those folks? We arrest them, they are jailed, in some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy." You know, Ashcroft is going to say,
"Wait a second, George. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me."
These people are crazy.
"They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha."
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
"So they're coming to take me away, ha-ha."
Hi,
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
When you were young and your heart.
All right, I don't want to hear about when I used to be young. I used to be Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman here. We got a couple more minutes. You want to be on the air? 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And I guess all these folks in the chat room, they're not just a bunch of potheads, they're a bunch of drunks, too, if what I'm reading is right. Actually, I'm a what I call a non-practicing drunk, too. You know, I'm not on a dry drunk. I've gotten well past that stage in my life. And one of the fun things, though, about being a non-practicing drunk is peer pressure. Get me to do really dumb things flies right out the window. You know, because now I no longer near peer pressure to do it. I do it all on my own. The venerable BuzzFlash.com. Now, if you have internet access, especially, and you don't make a once a day trip to BuzzFlash.com, BUZZFLASH, and no, they're not paying me. This is not an ad. I'm just saying that you need to go check it out. They do such a great job of a compendium of news. I found sources of news from around the world that I just really, really have helped to balance out what I've heard on or read from the major U.S. media. But they have a BuzzFlash reader commentary, a chart of Bush lies about Iraq. And I'm not going to go too far into it other than they start the question, did George W. Bush invade Iraq by lying? Well, of course he did. What do you think, folks? Apparently, Howard Dean's got some of these Bushies all upset and got their undies up in a bunch. They're trying to beat up on Howard Dean now and talk about all the horrible things he's done. So, you know, don't worry about Howard Dean. Howard Dean's a good, I'll go back. I might have voted for him, actually, the first time as governor. But and it's been a personal thing. He always reminded me of one of my older brothers. So I had this real personal issue with Howard Dean. But the one thing I'd always say, he did a good job in Vermont. Now, I mean, you know, if I was king, I would have done better, yes. But I'm not king, so he was elected, and he did a good job. Fiscally, he did a good job. He didn't, you know, as he made some trade-offs on things. He wasn't going to let spending get out of hand, so he's worth watching. A blow to the FCC. The House voted to reverse that media deregulation horrendous thing that was going on big time, too. 400-21 to roll back part of the Federal Communications Commission decision that allowed more corporate ownership of, you know, more and more radio stations. All right, it's been fun. Thank you for tuning in. Tom won't be back. I don't know. Will he? Anyway, I got to get out of here. I'm Rama. I'm confused. Bye. You all have a very good day.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.